Okay, people, Joel Radio's back. Welcome in to everybody listening at home, in your cars, in your wherever you may be.
Yes, sir. Bathtub.
The bathtub. A lot of listeners there. What do you think most people listen to podcasts?
There's hot. Wait, I don't know if I'm, turn me up.
You're up. You're up. You can't. You can't hear yourself.
Maybe it's over the music.
Yeah, it's the music. You're up. I think you're up good. I don't know.
Speaking of hot ass, Joel, look at this guy.
Yeah, I know. Me, Corey, we have the television on. We normally don't do this for the show, but we're going to talk about something on TV, and I was just explaining why a lot of the hot anchors are now on the business channels. And then a balding man in a bow tie is speaking. Right.
This guy looked like he should have been in, like, Churchill's cabinet.
Right. He sort of... Right, yeah,
wearing,
I can
like,
see
a,
that. Yeah.
A pinstripe suit and a bow tie.
Yeah, well, that's...
I say, well, I believe that...
well, see, there you go. There's a BIM right for you right there.
She looks a little bit like Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah, a little bit. I like it. I'm a fan. Look at those Look at those melons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a new thing. I mean, well, you know, I watched... We had an election last week.
Yeah,
and,
we did in
we
America
here
here.
Last week. But I watched more than my average Fox...
Sure.
I'll usually watch a little Fox. I mean, I watch O'Reilly a little bit, uh-huh. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of Fox. But I tuned in for the election. I was like, let me see how they're going
right,
to cover
right.
the election. This ought to be good.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of.
I missed the whole election thing, but the whole news coverage of it for the most part.
Well, I tuned in, like, to Fox in the morning
yeah.
of the election.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I do a lot of work from home. So I was like, that Tuesday, I was like, let's see what Fox's storyline is today.
Yeah,
and they were covering, this was their story, at like 8 or 9 a.m. Mm. There was a guy in Pennsylvania, the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, had made a resurgence.
Sure.
It was one guy in an army jacket and a beret.
What did he want to do?
I don't know. He was standing.
He was just standing there.
He was kind of standing around. I don't know. Yeah. You know, they didn't have a mic on him, so you don't know what he was saying to people.
Yeah. But he's ranting and raving outside a polling place.
He wasn't even ranting and raving. He was kind of just like
there.
Standing there. And sometimes he'd open the door for people. I mean, it was really, I'm going, and this guy, and they were like, the new Black Panther Party is trying to suppress the vote.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, it's one guy
yeah.
at one polling place. Literally.
Look out.
Now, should anybody harass people at the polling place?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
But Fox was covering this. Like, yeah. So I was like, we're in for good times today. And then I watched Dana Perino slowly get sad all day because she.
Well,
didn't...
yeah.
And then they all got sad.
You know, I think I don't know if we did. We talk about this on the show about how my theory is that pollsters just made shit up get going towards the end. Like it really was never close, but the pollsters had to sort of. The closer they made it, the more
well,
ink they got for their poll.
I don't even know if it's yeah. Well, certainly Rasmussen was proven to be
but
way off.
It is I'm guessing that pollsters. How do pollsters make money? Is it literally that they're hired, like they do these presidential polls, and then people hire them to do other polls?
Well, yeah, they're the
throughout the year.
The
yeah.
pollsters are hired by.
And they're hired by candidates and stuff,
they're,
right?
More often than not, they're hired by candidates. They're yeah. hired by corporations that want to take a poll on, you know, whatever their service is. Or...
So the presidential poll, I'm guessing, is sort of a loss leader for them in a sense. And like they do that.
Well,
they put the results out, and then people come to them and
there are independent,
hire them for other things.
There are independent polls, which are.
But how do they make money? I mean,
well, they're university
oh, okay.
funded.
So, all right.
So a lot of your polls are going to be.
Right.
Now, if it's like Gallup or if it's like, you know, or then if it's like the internal ones like CBS or
yeah.
NBC, they all have their own polls.
Okay.
So those people are
so
being paid by the
media,
network or
a
whatever.
Media, they have a reason to do it. Yeah.
But yeah, and then probably the more, you know, then there's your universities and then everybody will go, well, universities are biased and this and that.
Yeah.
Rasmussen, which is the guys who founded ESPN and then got shoved out the door.
Yeah.
As detailed in that massive ESPN book,
the giant.
Well, they were like those guys were complete boobs. As soon as ESPN started making money, they were
yeah.
like, you got to get them out of here.
So what? But what is they do normally?
Well, see,
what is their regular gig?
Their gig is polling now.
Polling. That's
it. Their thing. Yeah.
You make money. Why aren't we polling?
We should.
The fuck are we doing here? We've
I got
people.
Married. That's why I'm not polling.
I could be polling. Well, but what?
There's
all
a
right.
whole list of girls I could
all
be
right.
polling right
well,
now
but,
if we had a.
Oh, brother.
But
so they poll, but my feeling is that they cook these polls to make them interesting so that people run with them as the election gets close, because it turns out that I know this for a fact. I know that Romney picked up two states, or actually Obama, you could say this, Obama lost two states that he carried in
right.
08.
Indiana, I think he'd won in 2008.
And I don't know what the other one was. It was a small state, though.
It was like probably North Carolina.
It was something like that. Okay. But I also know that, and I believe this is true, that John McCain actually got more popular votes than Romney.
I think overall,
by the individual overall vote count.
Yeah, there wasn't really much difference in the percentages between Romney and McCain in terms of compared to Obama.
But
I think overall, the
Electoral College,
fewer people voted in overall.
So the Electoral College swung a little more Republican than it did last time, but just a little.
But
overall, it was the same.
So it was an even bigger ass-kicking for McCain because even more people voted, and the percentages were fairly similar.
Sure. Okay, so what you're saying is that there was more turnout in 08.
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore, even though he got a slightly lower percentage,
right,
McCain still got more votes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they both got more votes. Yeah, I mean, the voting was lower this year.
So even though he got more votes, he got a lower percentage than Romney.
But Obama's percentages inside the voters that did vote did go up in certain categories. More young people actually voted this time than in 2008, which everybody thought 2008 was this big,
that was a big turning point,
Well, he actually got a better percentage. I don't know what the numbers are.
All right, enough of this.
But anyway, and the big number and the big killer and what you're going to see next week when they start going out there with immigration reform, the Latinos went 77% for Obama.
Yeah. Well, now, the Latinos.
And that was a thing that the Republicans didn't think they were going to get pantsed on like that, and because it's all about immigration.
Well, so, listen, everybody, everything.
Here's another one. What's this one?
This is Nicole Padilla, maybe?
I swear to God, this looks like a Vivid Video catalog.
From
the 90s.
Right, like,
it really does.
Like, the guy to the right would rip her top off, right?
I know.
He really looks like that. Yeah,
Is this Fox?
We're back to watching Fox Business.
Is this
Business
Fox
Channel
Business, or is this Elegant Angel?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, that could be any, you know what I mean? Like, that could be
the
opening scene.
What is CNBC? Do they have chicks going on there, too?
Where is
I know Maria Menounos was their original creation. There she is.
Yeah, but she's kind of...
Well, she's losing a step.
That is
Maria Menounos. What is her name?
What is her name?
The Money Honey.
The Money Honey. Maria Bartiromo.
There it is.
That's who that is. So
she kind of she was the pioneer.
She was the first,
the hottie...
the first hot chick.
Every girl on Fox, though, looks like she really ought to be starring in porn in the mid-90s. I mean, they really do.
They are very glam and very sort of over the top.
Ron Paul's a hot piece of ass.
Now, wait a minute. Let me explain this. I go to the polls. I see who's running for president. No mention of Ron Paul.
Yeah.
After all the...
He dropped out.
He's not even third party. There's
no.
But you would think that he clearly had the most support of anyone that wasn't...
But he refused
Romney
to... He refused to run as a third party candidate.
Because he wants to be a Republican, even though he's... Because I guess... The crazy wackadoo party just was going to go underrepresented.
Right. I mean, he could have formed his own losing party.
Yeah.
But he decided to run as a Republican.
He decided to lose in the primary, then the general.
Right.
His ass kicking.
Yeah. He could have formed a party that would not have won the White House on his own.
Just saying.
And that would have drawn votes off.
He said, let me go to the convention, get my ass handed to me, and then I can take like 4 months off.
For
the most part.
You know, the weird part about Ron Paul is that despite knowing some of his followers and despite having feuds with some of his followers, I don't even know which way he would really like. You know what I mean? Like,
he's an odd, he's one of those like libertarian kind of guys who is all over the place with stuff, and some of it's right and some of it's left. And some
I'm
of
not
it
quite
is...
sure how who he would hurt if,
yeah,
he, like,
I don't
if
know.
He ran on his
I
own.
Know.
You know how...
But that's why true independence scares people, though, because it isn't you don't know. That's why it's hard for them to get raise money and stuff, is because you don't know how they're thinking and you don't know how they're going to vote on things, and so it's harder to get support from big corporations say, because they don't. Who knows what the guy's going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Guy's a loose cannon.
Well, this guy. There are a couple. There's a couple independents in the Senate.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is like as far left as right, anybody in the Senate goes. He's a straight up progressive, and in fact, he's even probably more progressive than a lot of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And then now this new guy, Angus King.
Where is Angus King?
He's from Maine.
What is it with the Northeast?
I don't know, but he picked up Olympia snow. These states like Maine and New Hampshire and Delaware, they have this thing like, we're independent.
Right.
By God, nobody can tell us what to do.
Yeah, because they were states before the Union, right. I think. They have sort of this feeling of...
We like Sumatra and Arabica bean coffee.
Oh.
And we like listening to NPR.
Yeah.
And we certainly enjoy chai tea, but we are rock-ribbed independents.
Yeah, they're...
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think these people in places like New Hampshire and Connecticut and stuff like that lean to the left, but they like to pretend that they're independent. And so Maine elected an independent who immediately today went, well, I'm going to be in the Democrat meeting. So I'm going to caucus, as they say, with the Democrats. I'm going to hang on that side. But, you know, who knows? Well, Ron Paul looks more and more Muppety.
The problem with Ron Paul is that, you know, if you just read about Ron Paul, you would have this vision in your head of this, like, young go-getter.
I know.
Chiseled, cut dude. And then you see this fucking old fossil.
You know what he looks like? He looks like one of the guys on the board of McMahon Tate. You know what I'm saying? From Bewitched.
Oh, okay. I don't even know that reference.
Okay. Thank you. He looks like Darren's boss. I mean, he looks like an old guy.
He looks like a...
Like a basset hound or something.
He looks like Mr. Rogers a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. He's getting that old man droop. Stuff's starting to hang off.
So anyway.
You know what? This is a bummer about the election is that all these guys that like were irrelevant during the season.
Yeah.
You then remember they're still in Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Like Ron Paul's back.
Right,
you're like,
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, Paul Ryan kept his seat.
You're like, Romney has to go away.
Right.
But pretty much everybody else, I mean.
We didn't hear one peep out of Michelle Bachmann for like 8 months.
But did.
Because she got her ass handed to her in the primaries and then went. Crawled back to her seat. She won.
Yeah, but
election.
She rewon. But yeah, I mean, did we really kick anyone out? Did anyone really get the axe?
A couple people.
What about that hunky senator? Didn't that guy lose?
Scott Brown. Yeah, he lost.
He lost. So that guy's out.
There were the Dems picked up a good number of seats in the House. Not enough to take it back over. They're still.
But there was no sweeping of any.
No, they're still down like 30 seats or something.
But not even like, I'm saying like known people.
Some of the crazy people, well, it's weird. Alan West, who's like a real crazy black Tea Party guy.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They get the nuttiest black guys they can get.
That's
they go,
true too. Yeah.
We've got blacks as well.
Yeah, no, they do.
We have blacks in our party.
Right. Herman Cain is out of a job.
He never had a...
But he's doing, like, talk radio or something, right?
No, Herman Cain's in a job. Herman Cain didn't really have an office before.
Right, but I'm saying, like, Herman Cain...
Oh, yeah, they'll love him.
He's going to be around as sort of, like...
Well...
Because that's what I hear is that these guys run... They run as only to get the media job later.
Well, who's got a show on Fox right now?
Mike Huckabee. Okay.
Yes. You know, he was a candidate that totally turned it into a job.
Yeah.
And she does have a little bit of, I don't know, she's not the hottest thing I've ever seen.
She's more of like
upscale. She's, you know what I mean?
She's like a hot,
you know, she is, she's the madam. you know what I'm saying? Like of all the
Boardwalk Empire,
right,
she'd be the
right.
Yeah.
She's the house mom. She's running the show.
Well, she, you know what? She's like a
the
hot...
correspondents are all tarted up little chippies.
All right.
There,
I know what you mean. Uh-huh. She'd be the woman that like she runs the Vegas showgirls.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one. Or you ever see? You know, here's the perfect thing. You ever see the woman? Have you ever watched Making of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders?
I have not. But,
there's like a broad like that. That's like an old cheerleader who was like some woman who was a cheerleader in the 80s,
right?
Who just yells at these 19-year-old broads about how they're not good cheerleaders.
She was the top earner in 1996, and now she's running the house.
So anyway, but my election.
What is her name?
This broad on here?
Yeah.
Liz Claman, I think.
Okay.
Is her name.
So that just so that the listeners
because I'm a real
can guy. Look up Liz Claman.
Yeah, they can
and
look her
Maria
up.
Bartiromo.
Yeah, Maria Bartiromo.
What,
you're just
going
to find a bunch of old.
What?
Israel attacked Hamas today. So that's
oh,
what
did
that
they?
Is. Yeah, apparently they blew the fuck
yeah,
out.
They're not. By the way, Israel didn't seem to. They're not waiting for the president to. You know, they're like, oh.
Yeah. They waited for the election and said, okay, now we can do whatever the fuck we want. Let's do this shit.
Well, those guys, that guy's crazy that, you know, the, Netanyahu is.
Netanyahu.
He's always a hardcore nut job. So,
yeah,
Maria Bartiromo is looking a little.
It's looking a little. Anyway, let's. So what? I know you know in striking detail what happened to me on election day.
Yeah.
How I went to vote. And
this is a big problem. And this is, you know, and we're all happy that the election.
You got to think. Can you see over there? There's a map of the electoral things. It's you see, do you see the PS3 controller? There's a map underneath that. Like there's two things on top of it. Now go just north of that, and it's colored. Yeah, there you go. You got it there, big man. So I go to vote. Now I voted.
Oh, is this?
I've lived for
precincts
8 years or something in the same place, right? So I voted for many, many elections here in where I live. And I've always gone to this. It's a senior citizen home I would go to.
Yeah.
And you go in there, and I've never waited more than 15 minutes to vote for anything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they decided, and I think it even says on that piece of paper, maybe in the top left there, if you unfold it more. It says, we stuck these districts together to save you tax dollars.
Yeah.
They say, oh, well, we redrew the districts.
Well, they looked for locations with good parking and ease of access.
Well, so they decided to take this whole... It's geographically, you can see how much it is there, Corey. It's from 8.
New state and federal laws concerning voter fraud also mean that we cannot process votes as quickly as we used to.
Yeah. So basically, what they said is we're going to get rid of half of the voting precincts. And then we have new protocols to follow when it comes to, you know, actually giving people a ballot. Therefore, we're going to fuck you in the ass in a line for all day. Since I'd only taken more than 15 minutes, I decided I would go and vote, and I think I had to go to the bank that day. I had a couple things to do. So I go to the polling place. I have to park on the lawn of this high school. Mm-hmm. That's how much the parking lot was full. So I park on the lawn, and I go, well, maybe this isn't so bad because it's a big, they're using the gymnasium. There'll be lots of places to vote. I go in the line, and I see a guy I know, and he says, well, my neighbor's up there. She's halfway through the line, and she's been here for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you got to be fucking kidding me. So then I'm estimating that's a 3-hour wait to vote.
Uh-huh.
Fuck me in the ass. Well, I can't because I got to go to the bank, and the bank closes at 5, and this was like at 2, and I go, I'm pushing it. I got to come back. I'll come back later. This line will go down. It'll be nice and short when I come back. I go back. 4 o'clock now. So 2 hours later, I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm walking into the school. And I decided to walk because I was close enough to actually walk to the precinct this time. I walked to the precinct. The girl that would have been in front of the line had I stayed is now walking out of the school, meaning that she waited through the whole line and got done.
So if you just stayed, you would have gone.
It would have been about 2 hours. So I go to the school. I go, how bad could it be? I walk in there. The line is now about twice as long as it was previously. Yeah. And it's already 4 o'clock. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you can vote till 8 in Michigan here, eight local time, Eastern time. But I also was scheduled to do The Fun House, which is a show I do on psychopathicradio.com.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing a new format that night. That actually turned out real good. Maybe I'll embed it or something on the site. But the last Psychopathic Radio, I had comedians Martin Butler and Dave Landau on. And we did sort of a...
I don't know about Dave, but certainly we've had Marty on this podcast.
Yeah, Marty's been on this show once or twice.
Been a long time.
But we did a live... You know, we interviewed Landau, I think, at the Comedy Festival, though, on this show, too.
Dave's
a good
guy.
You want to go back and listen to those. So anyway, so that show, I had to prepare that show, and I had to leave for that at like 8. So I was like really pushing even being able to vote. So I waited out the line. I brought my MP3 player so I could listen to some music in line. 2 hours and 47 fucking goddamn minutes later, I was able to vote and get the fuck out of there. But here's the problem. They decreased the number of polling places, but they didn't increase the number of workers, meaning they cut the staff. And that's really how they saved money. It wasn't so much the polling places where they saved money on. They saved money on cutting back the staff that was actually running the election.
Uh-huh.
So for all of these people, and there must have been 400 to 500 people in front of me.
Yeah.
There was one lady processing people's IDs to vote. So when I get into this room and there's 20 stations to vote at where they give you, we did paper ballot voting. Here where I live, you know, where it's like a Scantron.
Sure.
It's like a
same thing.
High school test or college test. When I get in there, there's 3 people actually voting at the 20 stations. And the reason is they had finished, and you can't you get through this line. So anyway, so I go in there, and I'm pissed. I'm angry because I might miss my show. I'm supposed to be doing all this prep. I've been in line for almost three fucking hours. And I realize I can't say a goddamn thing to these people, I'm assuming, right? Is that not like some sort of federal offense if I like yell at the election guy?
No, you can yell at him. It's
I can
fine.
Yell at the election yeah. guy? No, I thought they throw you right to jail for yelling at the election guy.
You can yell at him, sure.
No? No, to be honest.
I know that the polling place you were at made the news and that like...
Because it was the shittiest polling place in Metro
And then
Detroit.
Like after the polls closed, yeah. it was like the 10 o'clock news was on and they were like... Standing in line, people were still in line.
Yeah, because
people
they said,
that had gotten in line at yeah. 8 were still voting.
Right. So, and the line just kept getting longer. So, yeah. you know, I waited 3. Those people at the end must have waited 4. So they really fucked up. And I was so mad.
Mm-hmm.
So, since I couldn't yell when I finished my ballot, and by the way, and here's another reason why you got to make these voting. I had wasted so much time in line that I blew through my ballot so quickly that I skipped. University regions.
yeah.
I might have even skipped some judges. I can't remember if I did.
You just wanted to get out of
there. Because I had to go. I had shit to do. And I mean, yeah, I did all the propositions. I did presidential.
It was a long ballot.
And it was a long, it was two sides of like a legal size piece.
I don't know what stuff you had in your
there wasn't, I don't,
in Ferndale.
There wasn't anything local other than we might have a different rep. Right. You know, I think we probably have a different rep on the state level
right.
And maybe even the national level. But still, I was just so mad. And then they gave me that fucking I voted sticker.
Yeah.
And I crumpled it in a ball and threw it on the ground in front of the woman that was handing those out.
That's ridiculous.
Because I was pissed off.
That's ridiculous. And there were problems like that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And I think that is an issue that we need to address.
Right. Well, my feeling is if you're going to reduce the number of places by half, they should now be double staffed, right. though. Why not? But apparently,
but
they
Joel,
may only
Joel,
get
you're,
one.
You're,
I know I'm making too much sense.
No, this is on a okay. This is a government level, and this is a decision that happens.
Yeah.
People go, well, we don't. We want smaller government. We yeah. want to reduce government.
Yeah.
And then what they do is they go, okay, we're going to fire teachers. And then what you do is you get a classroom that's got 40 people in it.
Yeah.
And then people come to the PTA meeting and going, how come my kid was failing? And you didn't tell me. Because I got 40 people in the class.
That is true. And well,
this
they
is what
say
happens.
That they say that,
and
you know,
it happens on a private level too.
Yeah.
When companies reduce their staffs to the bone,
right.
they go, oh, our profits just went up.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
their customer service goes in the toilet.
Right.
When they're
you're on hold for an hour and a half to talk to the cable
then,
company.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So ultimately cutting jobs is a short term solution, but not it's not a long term.
I get what you're saying. And look, it's an election, it's once every 4 years elections are more frequent than that, but the ones that people really
right.
turn out for
no.
are once every 4 years. But you still gotta fix that. You still got to fucking do
Absolutely.
Something. You still got to make it. I mean, maybe you don't. I mean, I know the
Clearly,
old
okay.
I know the old joke is everybody working the election is 80 years old, but
right.
maybe
well,
that's where you start. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if young people would be any better.
Yeah, I don't know that they would either.
And
cuz you probably need someone with some experience to do this.
You know what you need
you
to do
people.
Is really you need to recruit people for the election centers.
Yeah.
Because if you just go, "Hey, any Meijer cashier or Target cashier,
right, right, right.
We'll never get out of there.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you could do is self-scan. That because that's bad enough.
Yeah.
If you've seen the self-scan at the grocery store.
Yeah, I do the self-scan usually, but I usually have a small basket.
Have to look at the line and make sure that.
When you go to the supermarket, what do you do then? You self-scan?
No,
or
when
you...
if I got like, you know, a loaf of bread and milk or
yeah.
whatever, I go self-scan.
Yeah.
But if I got more than that, we never will self-scan. We'll go.
Oh.
We'll go through the teller. Well,
no, if I have enough stuff, then yeah, I go through. Because right.
God forbid you have a beer in your
oh yeah, because if the self scan
or you got a bottle
pain.
Of
yeah.
wine,
yeah, alcohol
and
throws those.
I'm
right
damn
on.
Near 40, and yeah. I'm standing there with a bottle of wine, and I gotta have somebody come over and look at me
and check your ID mm-hmm. and go. Hey.
Don't you know? Just because I'm a progressive, I want everybody to understand. I don't think everything about government works.
Right.
Certainly, if you've ever been to a traffic court. Or paid a bullshitty
yeah.
parking ticket, and Joel watches Parking Wars, and I couldn't hate a show.
I've watched it sometimes.
I couldn't.
By the way, if you look on my pegboard there, you'll see a yeah. City of Detroit parking ticket that
right,
I picked
right,
up
right,
the
right.
other night. So.
No, but I couldn't
20 bucks.
I couldn't loathe the program more because
okay,
to me, looking at the people that hand out tickets,
yeah.
which is basically a tax without. It's basically
right. The problem is if you revoke all, you know, at some point you have
sure.
to either. you revoke the law or you enforce it. So you sort of have, you know.
My problem is that, yeah, okay, if a car is parked in front of a hydrant or it sits in the same spot for 38 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, ticket it, tow it, fine.
Okay.
But most parking tickets are issued because somebody went a half hour over their meter.
In my case.
At least around here they are.
My feeling is that I was unaware of the time that the meter ran until. I got my ticket at like 9:15 sure. p.m. in the city, and I assumed that the city stopped uh-huh. metering at 6. But no, the city meters till 10 now
that ain't, yeah.
because they need to generate more income.
But ignorance of the
revenue.
Law is no defense, Joel.
Oh, I know. I'm going to pay the fucking ticket.
But how are you supposed to know that?
Wait.
No, because the city of Detroit realized that they needed to generate yeah. money any way they could.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with parking.
Yeah.
My problem with parking is that, and because, you look, I know a lot of people get upset about tickets or get upset about taxes. But this is a tax. I'm charged for places I don't live.
That's true, but here's...
And that, for, you know what I mean? If I
parking,
go...
but my argument, I'll make the same argument, but not about parking tickets. I think speeding laws are draconian because
They're bullshit.
They're bullshit because the minimum... you know, the speed limit is, generally speaking, the minimum of how fast you can go to keep up with traffic just on the way. And this is with Michigan raising most of them to 70. I know. Isn't there a place in Texas now? It's going to be 85 or something.
Yeah,
I saw that. But it's 70, and you still, if you go 70, you're still getting honked at. You're still getting passed on the right. You're still all kinds of bullshit. So you really have to, you know, I mean, you have a number you're supposed to drive at. And you are forced, essentially, to break the law,
mm-hmm.
which means that the police can then pull over whoever they want, whenever they want, for whatever reason. So basically, when you go on the road, my feeling is that the speeding law is really just there to give you to give the police an excuse to pull you over whenever they want for whatever they want.
Well,
and they'll just say you're speeding because everybody's speeding all the time.
Basically, I actually drive the limit most of the time.
But you can't drive the limit. Don't you drive 5 over the limit?
Yeah, sometimes. But
because you can drive, you know, if you drive 3 or 4 over, I don't know that they can give you a ticket for
mm-hmm.
3 miles per hour
honestly,
over.
Joel, if the speed limit's 70, I'm usually driving 70.
Okay, well, you're that guy.
I am the guy that drives the limit.
You're the old guy.
Routinely, cars blow right around.
Right, but I mean, you know.
And if like, there's enough traffic, it's not just one car that's going 95. If, like, the whole field of traffic behind me is going faster,
yeah,
I'll speed up.
Right. That's my point. It's like, you know.
And if there's nobody on the highway at all anywhere, yeah,
right.
I'll go a little faster.
I mean, I don't want to drive 90. That's not my argument. My argument is that, you know, and it's not just freeway speeds. It's city, it's in-town speeds mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, the town where I live is 35, the main drag there, Woodward Avenue.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that, 6 lanes divided?
Well, oddly enough,
and
I probably,
35.
I probably, if it's 25, I'm never doing 20. I'm doing 30.
Yeah, exactly. So, but my point
I'll
is
generally
that,
go faster in slower
right.
speed zones
the thing is,
than I do in high speed
if
zones.
If you remove all parking laws,
mm-hmm.
I really think you would hate to be in those cities with that have these strict, you know.
I'm not...
You know, like Philadelphia is on that show, Parking Wars, and I've been to Philadelphia, and it's pretty crazy, and if they didn't have parking enforcement, you would hate to... You couldn't get around in that city, in my opinion.
No.
I mean, it's not enough to put up a sign. I know your argument is probably, well, you put up a sign and I'll follow the sign. That's you. But if you put up a sign and people ignore the sign, then what's the point in having the... You know,
You know what actually works better? Shame.
Yes. Well...
But we've lost the ability to shame people in our society.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like, you know, Mitt Romney and Old Man Jones,
yeah.
but there is something to that notion that in the old days, there was sort of self-correcting behavior because you were shamed
used to
into
be,
it.
Sure.
So we need to find a line between, but on the other hand, we've got this Petraeus story,
yeah,
which is a big scandal.
It is.
Because a guy had been married for 37 years and wanted to fuck something else. That's a big story.
I think the reason the Petraeus thing is so big is about the Benghazi attack. And I think a lot of people are trying to tie that, you know, see, is there some sort of cover up? Why is he resigning his office now?
Because
they said, well, he's going to, the story was for several days, Petraeus is resigning. He's not going to testify about Benghazi. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now Petraeus is saying he'll testify, which takes a lot of the shine off of that conspiracy theory,
mm-hmm.
because he's going to testify and, you know, whatever, he'll tell him what he knows, which, you know, whatever. He can go and deny, whatever he's going to do. But at least he's going to testify. And I think that's what I care. I think that's what more what people care about. I mean, yeah, the fact that broads are fighting over this guy is...
Well, my question is, was that broad blowing him while Benghazi was being attacked that prevented him from doing his job?
No, but people think that it is... it is either A, an excuse for him to try to, you know, not be responsible for what happened, or it was punishment instead of a firing that, you know what I'm saying? That somebody in the Obama administration came to him and said, look, you fucked us over on, you know, you need to go away.
Uh-huh.
Although, if you're trying to make a guy go away, this doesn't seem like making him go away.
No, they
were. So that's I don't know if that theory holds water either.
I think this is the most embarrassing, noisiest way to make him go away.
Yeah, maybe it is.
They could have just, you know, quietly fired him.
Well, he could have just resigned. Well, you know, what, though, you know, we got a new administration.
Here's the problem. They could have, there's ways to work.
Guys change jobs when they go into a second term.
Whenever you go into a new administration, they flip over most of the time. A lot of people do.
So I thought maybe that, but I don't know. So I'm not sure what to do with this, although it is interesting that the FBI is investigating the CIA. That has repercussions, though.
Well, those two always fight amongst each other.
Well, they do, but then, you know, they all fall under DHS now, Department of Homeland Security, uh-huh. which was not always the case.
Right. No, previously they were two autonomous units, and Hoover controlled the FBI for the first 50 years of its existence. But
even like 9/11 and that, they were fighting, and they were, you know, there was... They were not sharing intelligence across.
Joel, I'm shocked that we're not on fire right now.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, because if you really look at the... Okay, if you take any individual, like, say, a guy at Meijer,
okay.
I wonder if Petraeus could use the self-scan.
I don't know.
Do you think Petraeus could handle his business and do the self-scan?
I have no idea.
I'm guessing he could. But, yeah. But see, that's the problem.
Right.
Is that individuals on their own are flaky and nuts. But for some reason, if you put everybody into the pressure in the system of a society, they seem to get through it.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? We're not, look, there's occasional outbreaks. It was an idiot that was taking shots with his rifle on 96 here.
Oh, yeah.
There's occasional anarchy, but there's not systemic, massive. You know why? Because there's something in it for everybody.
Obama has not driven a car since he was elected president?
Yeah, he's a president. Why would he? Yeah.
Just put it out there.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I just put it out there.
I
watched a thing about how, you know, Bush didn't understand how these U-scan worked and the thing, and you know, he was freaked out by it. And they were talking how presidents get out of touch because they have all these, you know, like Obama doesn't have an iPad or something because he's got a guy that if he needs to know something. He asks
staff.
He asks a guy, and the guy looks it up for him. You know, like he doesn't need.
He's got an iPod.
Yeah, I guess.
So he can listen to music. So I bet he's probably got a touch and a phone.
But they're saying, that for security reasons that they don't have these things.
Well, didn't he have a BlackBerry?
They said he was going to get a BlackBerry.
Didn't they? Didn't he have to get rid of his BlackBerry?
They gave him some encrypted BlackBerry. They redesigned one for him.
Well, that's an interesting thing about security because I saw an article about. George Clooney's sister.
Oh.
And she lives in Kentucky, and she's a dumpy broad that, you know.
Right.
You know, his dad was an anchor in Cincinnati. Uh-huh. So they were like, you know, suburban Cincinnati, northern Kentucky. Anyway, she still lives there, and she's just a housewife or whatever. I don't know, she's a school teacher or something, a house mom. And she said she didn't have his number.
Oh.
And she said, he'll call me if, you know, like.
Oh.
She said, you know, we'll email.
George not comfortable with her
she
having.
She said, I don't have his number because if I lose my phone and somebody gets it, they're going to you know what I mean?
Well, can't you just put it in there as, you know.
Yeah, you could
something.
Butcher Sam or something.
I have celebrities in my phone. And
yeah, that is funny.
Some of them are listed under their celebrity names and some of them are not.
You know, it's funny. Every time I interview somebody, I
you get their number.
Not every time. I mean, sometimes I'll be talking to a publicist, but there are.
Sure.
Like I left voice mail messages on my phone for a long time from like Michael Ian Black.
Okay.
Left me a message like, hey, Corey, call me back.
Okay.
And he went on and did a whole shtick.
Yeah.
So I kept that one.
Okay.
And like Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall.
Right.
And I now have Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater's phone number. And I'm never going to do anything with him.
Sure.
But I'm sitting there going, Right. You know, if I told myself in 1996 that I'd have Tom Servo's phone number,
right?
You know, you go.
Well,
oh,
I called Ron Jeremy on the show once for
right.
So
that's
you
true,
know,
you
did. I did get you. I did do that for the sake of the show,
yeah,
but I don't.
Tom Green.
I don't
and,
bother him. I don't right. bother a lot of these right. guys that I have their numbers.
And I have some prominent comedians' numbers
sure.
that I could call. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, there's guys.
Stephen Wright wanted me.
There's
Stephen Wright gave me his number.
But where is Stephen Wright's number? It's in your phone under Stephen Wright.
It might be. I don't know.
Right. Because there's a guy who I've completely, whatever. It's not his name. But I know who it is.
We have it hidden under something else.
It's hidden under. It's under another name because I do get concerned. I for that concern. But I mean, if I, you know.
I remember my roommates when they worked at the video store. Had a couple a couple Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
Would come in and rent.
Oh, so they got their numbers.
Yeah, and
they'd
be like, "You want to call Terry Porter?" I'm trying to remember who it was. You know, mid '90s Pistons.
Yeah,
guys you wouldn't want to kill.
Mehmet Okur.
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, Clooney's sister was like, "I don't have his number, you know, in
really?
My phone because I don't want anybody to like."
Don't.
You know.
But you would think that she could call his agent or something.
Well, she said. She said that they talk every now, you know, first of all, they don't talk, you know, they might go, hey,
right.
Hey, happy birthday, Merry Christmas.
Me and my brother talk, like three times a year, you know.
I mean,
you
know.
My brother lives, 800
right.
miles from
how
me.
How often you talk to your siblings? Some people do all the time.
Right.
Some people
I
don't.
Yeah, I don't.
So she's like, you know, yeah, we'll talk on Thanksgiving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, or she's like, you know, dad's got the number and the parents live like three blocks away or whatever, you know, stuff
right.
like that.
That is weird, though.
So I think when you're the president, you do get into a bubble. Now, I think George H.W. Bush didn't understand how the grocery store worked because he was because he was a rich guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And unlike Obama had been in government for
right.
40 years. I mean, he'd been the CIA director under
Nixon. But can those guys even buy their own food? I mean, I know when you're the president, you can't, right? I mean,
that's
when the president,
problem.
Like when Obama went to like Five Guys, because I see that footage everywhere.
Right.
Do they set it up in advance for him to go to Five? Like, how does that work?
I'm sure an advance man comes in.
Goes in and goes.
If you watch the show Veep, they do this shit all the time.
Oh, okay.
On that show, which is, I don't want to use that as a document.
Yes, really?
I don't want to use an HBO comedy show. But they'll show, like.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus is
they'll
coming.
They'll, like, go to places. They went to, like, a frozen yogurt place and, like, so the vice president might stop by for some yogurt.
Oh.
And, you know, like, just to gauge the temperature. I wonder how your business owner feels about that. I don't know if some of them, like, they're all excited about it, or...
I would think there's some residual bounce in whatever interference it causes on the day the guy's there. Right. You would think that that's...
Remember where, like, Romney went to the cafe and was like, did you buy these cookies at 7-Eleven? And, like, the woman was offended, and...
I don't remember
that one?
That I don't remember, although I do remember...
Yeah.
Who was... Oh, jeez. I remember when John Kerry went to like Pat Steaks,
yeah,
and ordered
got the order wrong.
He ordered he ordered his cheesesteak with Swiss, and everyone fucking dumped on him about what a fucking fancy lad he was.
Philly,
because he wanted you got to get the cheese whiz, Corey.
Hold on,
I don't know
if we've ever had a listener from Philadelphia.
I'm sure we have listeners in Philly. Sure,
and
why
I want
not?
It. And this goes by the
I've
way
been to Philly
in our own backyard.
Like
this
Philly?
Goes to the mustard police. If a guy wants provolone or Swiss on his fucking cheesesteak,
yeah, well, it's
go
it's,
suck my dick.
Well,
all right?
The problem here's the problem.
You gotta get wit.
Here's
whiz,
the problem.
A gig, a gug, a goog,
but
a gig.
Here's the problem. If you're okay, but Kerry didn't just go because he was hungry. He went because he was running
on
for
a
office.
Photo op.
And when you go on a photo op, you're supposed to play along and do as the locals do. And forget, I couldn't run for fucking a goddamn thing.
Right,
because I'd be ordering cheese pizza. In
yeah,
places,
hold everything.
And I'd be
yeah,
like,
this guy.
Actually, if in New York City, cheese pizza is actually the pizza, but. That's all the meats and toppings are kind of a Midwestern thing, but so if I went,
there's
to,
plenty of stuff on New York.
But you know,
pizza.
Like if I went in at Chicago deep dish style, I would, you know, if I had to do that for a photo op,
you wouldn't be happy.
I would, yeah, I would probably have an issue. Or
well,
if
I'm not
I,
a big
know,
deep dish fan anyway, but
yeah.
But
if I, you know, if I had to eat like a, I don't know, there's probably things I wouldn't.
And here's my thing about deep dish pizza, and I'll just say this for
okay.
The sauce goes on the bottom for a fucking reason. Right?
Well, no, the sauce, you're saying the sauce on the Chicago style?
Is on top.
No, it's, okay. Yeah, the sauce is on top, right.
They put the cheese on, and then they put the sauce
the
over
cheese
it,
is against the crust, and then the sauce is on
and
top.
And then they bake it. Yeah. Now, let me explain to you fucking mooks.
That's a quiche or something, isn't that?
Let me explain to you Chicago fucking schmucks. All right.
Chicago is...
when you put cheese on top of something,
yeah,
like, say, nachos.
Right, right.
That creates a blanket of joy.
Right.
It keeps all of the warmth and all of the flavors in, and you know what I mean? It's a covering that, and the cheese distributes and melts evenly.
Sure.
When you put sauce on top, all you're doing is drying the sauce out.
Yeah.
So that the sauce now becomes like
the sauce gets baked and it
becomes
gets
less of a sauce
crusty
and more of a paste.
Yeah.
And who fucking wants that? And now, then your cheese stays at kind of a lukewarm temperature. It doesn't, like, you know what I mean? Okay.
I get what you're saying.
Okay. If I just, like, warmed cheese up in a microwave,
sure,
or if I took, like, a brulee torch and I toasted the top of the cheese, there's a textural difference that is completely different.
Right.
And
yes,
baked cheese is better than just melted cheese. So Chicago deep dish pizza is an abomination. Lou Malinati.
That's the start of...
Yes, yeah, it's one of the big ones.
You founded...
In Chicago.
Oh, that's... That Pizzeria Uno is the big one.
Well, there's
one,
Pizzeria
right?
Uno. There's Lou Malinati's. There's... what's the other one?
I stayed by Pizzeria Uno when
is
I was there.
Is there Ed DeBevick's? Is it Burgers?
Know.
Anyway.
But I heard...
Lou Malinati.
I watched...
Go piss up a rope with your Chicago deep dish pizza.
But I thought the idea was, and I watched a documentary about it, was that the guy was just doing it to, like, get attention.
Yeah, absolutely. He
said,
was doing it wrong.
He was like, hey, I'm going to take pizza and make it different. Just so people will come to my place. So they could have made New York-style pizza, but they decided they wanted their own identity in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And said, we're going to make it this way. Yeah, Chicago-style pizza is not...
it's garbage.
And, it's no
good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't have any problem with the Chicago hot dog. There's probably too much stuff on there.
Oh.
By the time you get to the tomato wedges, I'm kind of okay.
I don't even know what's hot dog. I don't even know who's a hot dog connoisseur. I don't get that. I mean, I know there's places. I know there's... We have hot dog... Do we have a hot dog place in Detroit somewhere that's one of those, isn't it? Don't we have a...
There is Hippo Dogs in Troy, which is about by where I live. And, they're Chicago-style dogs, and they're pretty good.
Okay.
Look, I'm not a hot dog. I'm not a hot dog elitist, by the way, by any means. But what I was saying is that in Detroit, we have Coney's, which is the national...
That is our hot
dog,
Which
is the lingua franca of Michigan food.
It's called a Coney... I don't even know if you call it, do you call it a Coney dog or is it just a Coney Island?
Most people here just call it a Coney.
Yeah.
But it's basically, it's our version of a chili
right.
dog. It's a chili dog.
It's
That's
basically
a
chili
is.
Dog, yeah.
It's a goddamn chili
now,
dog.
Now, if you go to the
you
actual.
Get on it, you get raw onions
okay.
and you get mustard.
Yeah.
This is the orthodox chili dog.
Yeah.
Anything else is considered
But it's
aberration.
Not chili.
It's
chili though, is it not? Chili, onions, and
chili, onions, and mustard.
Okay.
That's
what you would normally get.
That is the orthodox. That
Michigan.
Is how Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tablet. That said, thou shalt only put chili, mustard, and their raw white onions.
Yeah,
on a hot dog, and that is your, and it has to be a kosher beef hot dog with a little snap to it. Now, you'll see that there's a whole network of television devoted to this garbage.
Yeah.
Where people go.
And it is garbage.
Where people go, you got to get that snap and that bite in the dog. And then this painted up tart douche, Guy Fieri, which, by the way, Italians, please explain to me how F-I-E-R-I spells Fieri.
It spells Fieri if you're in Italy and you speak Italian, you would be Fieri. But it's,
I mean, how is an R make a T sound?
Whatever, it's the way that they would pronounce an R in the if you were pronouncing an Italian word.
All right,
and I guess his name is an Italian word. So anyway, yeah.
And what does an Italian word mean?
I don't know what Fieri means. Just go fuck yourself. I don't
know. But anyway, so guys here, and this also happens if you go to the ballpark.
Fieri means wearing your sunglasses on the back,
back
of your neck.
Oh, that is
But you know what's funny is we have the Coney dog here. That's our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the actual place called Coney Island, which is located in New York, they don't make the dog like there at all,
well,
like that.
They have their own hot dog.
They have Nathan's, Coney Island. Famous. But and you get those. But there's, I don't think there's a default Nathan's. No. Is there? Is there really a default?
There's a Nathan's. Yeah, it's a standard,
Nathan's original.
Yeah, there's like a Nathan's original.
And what comes on the Nathan's original?
I think the bun it's like a poppy seed bun.
Okay.
And I think that there is. That's a good question. It might be onion. Huh. Might be pickled. It's not chili.
See,
but all these hot dog purists that are like, right, you can only have mustard.
Here's the best hot dog for me.
Mm-hmm.
You go to New York City, okay?
Yeah.
You just buy the one from the guy on the street.
Right.
A dirty water dog is great. Uh-huh. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I had one of those in Toronto when I was there not too long ago. Dirty water dog.
Delicious. Look, I like a sausage, okay?
Okay,
and
so I've
been to Germany, and sweet Lord Almighty, those people be loving them some sausages.
What is
a vice versa? Now, in Germany, the Coney of Germany is the currywurst.
Okay.
Which is basically just, it's a bratwurst with curry ketchup.
But in America, isn't that a brat? Is that what you would call it? Like, if I was going to the store to buy something, buy you a brat and you would be happy?
If it's Poland, if it's Germany, if it's Latvia, Slovenia, all of that region, they've got so many different sausages.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's the Weisswurst. Now, I like that. That's like the white sausage.
Okay.
There's, you know, Bratwurst. There's Knackwurst. There's like a billion different.
I know some girls who enjoy the white sausage.
Thank you.
But, you know, hey now.
Hey. and I've seen some videos of girls enjoying
the
black sausage.
Yeah,
There's the blood sausage. They got all any kind. If they could take some part of an animal and ground that shit up and shove it through a casing, they're going to do it.
Yes,
and I enjoy that. The hot dog kind of leaves me a little fat.
The hot dog is not spicy. It's sort of bland by its nature. Is that
the
American hot dog.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
But that's how I'm differentiating the American hot dog.
The only hot dogs that I and I can't believe we're having an internet discussion with this. The only hot dogs that I do like in America are like Coney hot dogs that are crunchy. They have the
okay, so you like a natural casing hot dog. Yeah.
Has a little snap. If it's like a ballpark Frank.
I love a big thick fucking ballpark Frank.
Fuck you.
Boiled on the stove.
Yeah.
That's a meal for you right there.
Yeah, I like a grilled hot dog, not a boiled hot dog. Sure. And
how do you feel about a like a 7-Eleven hot dog?
Fuck yourself. That's how I feel about that.
No, exactly. But I mean,
I'd literally rather stick my dick in Larry Kudlow's ear than do that.
But I mean, the 7-Eleven hot dog, people eat those all day. I mean, I
don't know
I
who
go
these
in there
you know, okay,
and you
now,
see them.
Now, okay.
You see these guys with the Mountain Dew or the Big Gulp, and they're getting the damn
obviously,
taquitos.
I'm not claiming to be a health nut.
Yeah.
And I've clearly had weak points and sad parts of my life, okay?
Yes.
And there was a point before I got married when I was living in a crazy woman's house.
Yeah.
And I had a room. And, you know,
I think I was at that house.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the rest of the house was starting.
So, basically, you couldn't use the kitchen.
Well, yeah. There were times when it would be cleaner and I'd kind of clean up in there.
Yeah.
But she was starting to get borderline hoardery in there. So
me
and the other guy basically just stuck to our rooms. And then we'd like go, I'd go walk down the hall. And go,
you conceded the kitchen.
Like, it was ridiculous to be like, hey, Chris, hey, look what's on channel, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. But we would stay out of the rest of the house.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't do a lot of cooking by myself.
Absolutely.
And there were times when I would, late at night after a gig or something, I had a 7-Eleven taquito. And the taquito is what they do is they take like a little tortilla and they shove it full of the worst Hormel processed bullshit you can imagine.
Is it beef in there? Is it cheese? What is in there?
A lot of times it's chicken.
Chicken.
Sometimes it's taco filling beef.
Excuse me.
Something like that. And then, you know, a lot of times it's like the Monterey Jack. Sometimes they're just sticks of cheese.
Sticks of cheese.
Or
like
jalapeno.
Deep fried,
But it's usually some kind of cheese and chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
And what they do is they take a little, it's like a flour tortilla, and they just deep fry it and remove all its dignity.
Yeah.
By putting it on that stupid spinning rack of germs.
Right. Just, but they, I think it was invented to take further advantage of that hot dog rack, right?
Right, right.
Isn't that why it's there? Like, it's sort of.
Because the hot dog rack is like the metal spinner.
How do we
rack.
Make a hot dog out of tacos?
And it's just sitting there incubating, it's just incubating typhus into your food.
You know, when I worked at the movie theater, we sold hot dogs. And, you know, we would literally, those guys would sit there all day on that little roller that goes back and forth. And literally, we would take them at the end of the night and put them in the fridge and put them back out the next day.
I'm going to, okay, now.
I mean, I don't know how
I know
long
I just, I know I
there.
Just assailed mustard, you know, theorists and, you know, pizza fascism.
Yeah.
I hate all that shit. Sure. Good. Eat your pizza however you fucking want it.
Right.
Now, you. My annoyance with you is that you just don't enjoy flavor or good things or vegetables.
No, that's not true.
And that you had to force your cheese pizza ideology on a room full of men. But
we went out for pizza in 1999, and Corey can't give it up.
But we used to go out with 12 guys, and Joel would be like, all I want is cheese on my pizza. And
the other 11 guys, I was compromised.
No, you go, let me get half.
I bought my
which
own.
Which basically assured that you got six slices. Look, what I'm saying is, no, you tried to assert your will in a democracy, sir, and I wouldn't have that.
Okay.
But my feeling is, I will say, I don't know, I had a point, but I lost it somewhere. I was talking about taquitos and tacos.
How about Wendy Nix? Look at that.
She just grabbed under her boob.
I don't know what she's doing.
I don't know. You know where the hot ass
is. But she's kind of as big as Mark Schlereth, so maybe she's...
She's big.
She might be a giant.
We have a local news reporter named Katrina Hanna.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's like 6'5 or something. she's like a beast.
She really would kick your ass.
She sits there with Lomas Brown, who used to play for the Lions.
And he was an offensive lineman for the Lions.
I know, and they look like they're similar sizes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, then there's Susie Colbert.
Well, Susie Colbert reminds me...
No,
I don't know about that sound.
Yeah, I don't know.
Susie Colbert reminds me of girls I spanked in high school. Like, if we took this in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, sure.
When Susie Colbert was young and fresh.
Yeah,
sure.
I know what you mean. When Joe Namath wanted to kiss her, it was all right.
If this was 1993, I'd be on Susie Colbert. But anyway, everybody on, no one leaves ESPN now. They're all just still, and then there's two slappy dicks.
All right, let's continue with the show. She's on every fucking channel. Oh, do you want to watch the Longhorn Network? Because they have a...
Why would I want to watch the Longhorn?
Because they're having a football practice, and they televise the practices on the Longhorn Network.
Who the fuck cares?
It's an ESPN channel.
Oh, my God.
The Longhorn, and they show the practices.
Who?
And they show, you know, all the Texas sports.
Oh, I wish we still had the drop button. We'd have the drops. Because I'd be hitting the who cares button. I mean, this is, who could give a shit? They look like the bank.
Did we ever drop that? Was who came up with that shit?
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, look at these fat gomers.
Doing the hurdles.
They're all wearing these like black and orange. They look like the Bengals or something.
Well, that's the Longhorns
colors. I know
colors,
it's
maybe.
That what is it? Rust color. What is it?
I don't know what they call it.
It's called Texas depravity. I don't know what.
Right.
Screw a bunch of Longhorns.
Well, what were
all
we
right.
talking about? Hot dogs and
eat the shit however you want. I don't.
Yeah,
care.
I feel that way too.
I will say. I will generally tend to go if there whatever it is I'm going to eat. If it's a Philly cheesesteak or if it's a currywurst or if it's whatever wherever I go somewhere or if it's a pain au chocolat in Paris or whatever it is or if it's a banh mi, I'll go and try it the way that it's considered traditionally.
You want to have?
I will start with the baseline of orthodoxy.
Sure.
And then if I go, you know. This could use a little ketchup.
Yeah.
Go kiss my ass if you're going to tell me, no, only mustard, sir.
Yeah, there
we only will have mustard.
Well, I get what you're saying, but
the guys
know.
At the ballpark are this way.
Yeah.
And my friends used to be like this at Tiger Stadium. And I probably joined the gang. I probably joined the brown shirts for a while. And
the
ran
no
wild.
Ketchup on hot dogs?
Right.
Was that throwing?
No, frankly, I don't. Personally, I find ketchup to be a condiment for children. it really has one utility, which is like on a hamburger.
Yeah,
but other than that,
French fries.
Yeah, I prefer.
You prefer a plain fry.
I prefer either a plain fry or ranch or something
really?
Else.
Really? Okay.
Or if you've been to Amsterdam, the mayo.
Yeah.
I mean, ketchup on the fries, sure, whatever.
But I, you know, my thing is that I know that, like, if I eat too many onions, I'll get heartburn. Like, I just know that. Mm-hmm. So that's a reason if it's something's got onions on. Yeah. Even like when I get White Castle, I tell them to lay off the onions. Even though it's cooked in onions, well, I don't have them put, you know, pile on onions on my...
I'm not a huge fan of, and this is another burgers. Problem with Coney's,
yeah,
is that I'm not a huge fan of the raw onion.
Yeah, okay. Well, in White Castle, they're cooked onions. They're sure. fried onions. But...
Now, but there's another thing. Raw onion, they just, at the Coney, they just throw the raw onion on.
Yeah, they just chop it up and put it on there.
If you take an onion and you put it in a pan and you caramelize it, which mm-hmm. is in the process of heating it up and cooking it, the onion releases its sugars.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
Well,
it's like 100 to, like, there's onion is vastly superior.
I'll eat an onion ring.
At least a cooked onion.
But then I'll eat an onion ring or like a blooming onion or some sure. kind of thing like that.
You're a hypocrite. No, my dad likes to, my dad will sit and eat like a fistful of walnuts, you know?
Okay.
He'll sit there and he'll eat walnuts
yeah.
or peanuts or right. any kind of nut and he'll eat it. If you put the same peanut into a brownie or the same walnut,
right? Yeah,
he'll freak out.
It's problematic. Yeah,
yeah. He can't have yeah. nuts in his cookies.
It's about
or brownies.
Texture. Yeah, I think. In
and
that
I
case.
Do, but I'm just like I, yeah. I look at him just in stunned, and it's for 40 years. I mean, I'm not 40 yet, but
my
whole life, my dad's done that.
Yeah.
If there's a walnut in the brownie, he goes, "Meh."
No,
and I go, "I go, Dad, you'll eat a fistful of nuts. I don't understand it."
Yeah. You know, my dad here. My dad does this. You probably, you're not even this hardcore. My dad will eat it. My dad will go in the fridge. He'll grab a tomato and a salt shaker, and that's his. There's lunch.
Well.
Yeah, he'll bite into the tomato,
uh-huh.
apply a little salt, keep biting, yeah. and then the tomato's gone. And I go, that's pretty hardcore.
As we all know, your dad came over here
right,
on
yeah.
the back of a burro.
Exactly. He came over in a sack of tomatoes. And I'm sure he
cantare mia.
He was pulling tomatoes out of a barrel full of brine and eating them on his voyage over.
Your dad came over in a steam trunk.
Yeah, my dad came over.
And popped out as an organ grinder.
In 1875, my dad came here on a boat. Yeah, exactly.
Your family, though, came right from Italy.
My dad came to America on a mm-hmm. boat when he was 8 years yeah. old. Yes, that's
now,
true.
Now, I will say this, though, about the tomato
yeah.
as well. Now we're going to discuss my food preferences.
Well, my dad eats weird. Like, he'll eat tomato. He eats sardines out of the can. He does a lot of, like, hardcore, old guy
Josh, one of my groomsmen who's never been on the show from my wedding, one of my best friends, his dad would sit and eat the gefilte fish out of the jar.
No. Oh, yeah.
And, like... And gefilte fish is like salt cod packed in like this weird jelly of like fish juice and salt and I don't know what. But he would like drink the jelly out of the bottle.
Hey,
and it was, we'd sit there and go, you got to be kidding me, Bob. This is the grossest thing anyone's ever done.
That is bad.
My grandfather liked Braunschweiger, which is...
what is that?
That's a German liver pate, which was made out of minced Jews, I believe.
Yeah.
And it'd be like... Liver pate. You can find it at Meijer or something.
Sure.
It's they make like Kegels or whatever makes it, and it's a big tube, and he'd sit there and spread it on Ritz crackers. Anyway, there's old people eat weird
and my
shit.
My dad eats liver and onions off the senior menu when we go out to lunch.
Yeah,
he does
sure.
that.
Old people love that shit.
Yeah, what are we going to be old guys? Are we going to...
I don't...
Are we developing tastes as we get older for odd things, or is it like, you know, my dad might have just eaten raw tomatoes because they were around and, you know...
I watch
you know,
a lot
you,
of...
You got a dozen for a nickel or whatever it was back in the 50s.
I will say this, though. There's no comparison between a European tomato and an American tomato.
Oh.
I swear to God, no.
The European tomatoes are better?
Vastly
superior. Oh.
The European tomato is a tomato. The American tomato is a flavorless red circular disc that is
you're talking about a beefsteak mm-hmm. tomato, like a heart-shaped potato tomato.
All it does
versus like a big around
right.
yeah okay,
all it does is separate my bun from my burger. That's all it does. And I'm gonna say eight times out of ten
right
I will pick the tomato off of a sandwich or a burger because I find the tomato, well, first of all, they're organic, they're not organically grown, they're all factory farmed.
Okay.
And we have tomatoes all year round.
Yeah.
In reality, you will have tomatoes in about an 8 week window in the summer.
Huh.
And then what the Italians would do, they'd can it and they'd put it in sauces or paste or whatever.
Yeah.
That's why there's so much stuff that's canned.
Okay.
Or in Italy, they have canned sardines and all the kind of canning. has serves a purpose, is that you want tomatoes all year round, get out of a fucking can.
Yeah.
This going and buying a tomato in like, you know, February, it's garbage. It doesn't taste like a tomato. It's awful. And I was seriously in France.
So when you went to France.
I noticed this. I was like, seriously, I was in France and I had a sandwich and I had a tomato on it. Okay. And I went, holy shit, what is this?
Because I think the tomato is sort of just a watery, acidic kind of sweet thing. The American
tomato.
It
should have flavor.
That's what I'm saying. The American tomato.
Yeah.
Because when I eat tomato sauce, it's delicious.
Right.
Like pizza sauce or pasta sauce.
Well, that's because they probably made that out of real tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or in-season tomatoes. There's no comparison. You get a real European, like in-season summertime tomato, and you taste, and it's, anyway. I'm saying it's like being with a virgin and being with a girl who knows what she's doing.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Oh. There's a big difference, all right?
That's interesting. Okay.
All right.
All right, let's move on here to...
Oh, here we go, the five. These guys were so
sad. Do you
want to...
Yeah, these guys are...
There's so many... Now, we got assholes of the year coming up, and I got a, I got a plethora of choices.
Yeah, yeah, the election would give you...
There were
multiple.
So many candidates from the election I mean, we just named a couple. Ron Paul, Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
There's so many, but... I'm going to have to really pick and choose who had the dumbest reaction to the election. Because people were really crazy. Well, that guy, that's their Democrat.
Did you see that? Well, I like this. They got the one seat. Look at the broad on the left. Uh-huh. Like, they have the one seat where they got to get this chick in the tiniest skirt.
Yeah, yeah.
To sit on the end.
Right.
I don't even know if that's the regular chick or not. I
think
I can't
she
even
is.
Tell.
Let me see her.
Because I think I...
This guy's on every show. I've watched. This is their five.
Yeah, that's Kim.
I think she's on it regularly.
That's Kim Guilfoyle.
She looks like a gargoyle. That face.
Well,
I'm not a fan of hers.
She's too made up. That's the. I mean,
usually they have Dana Perino on here.
Yeah,
who is evil but hot.
Yeah, she is. She is hot. Yeah, Dana Perino. I get what you're saying.
Sure,
but Dana Perino is more of a regular girl. Well, she is. Super glamazoned up.
She looks like a Bratz doll. She's got wide mouth.
That's Dana Perino's fill-in, I think, is this one.
Okay.
There, that brunette. But
now, Dana Perino's usually on this show.
Yeah.
I did watch the day after the election, and these guys were all sad. They have one Democrat, the fat guy in the...
Bob Beckel.
The fat guy in the suspenders. Thank you. He sits there and blows. He sits there and puts pins in all their balloons, and they all just go, but no. I will say, I'm going to single out one guy right now, because believe me, the list is so long.
Okay. Go for it.
This Dick Morris.
Dick Morris.
Dick Morris led the way. There were a host of guys that all picked Romney in a landslide.
And he sort of started that.
And Dick Morris wrote a column.
Charles Krauthammer.
Charles Krauthammer. Please.
There's a go-getter right there, Charlie. Charles Krauthammer.
Should go get plastic surgery with that bent up dome.
She's fucking...
That lid is frightening. Somebody called it...
How do they not chase him around with a shovel?
That I don't know.
Guy? Like, just put him back in the...
I think one time John Stewart called
him... Put him back in the ground.
One time John Stewart called him the original conservative...
I like her, by the
way. See, there's another blonde.
Yeah, Melissa Francis.
You went back to Fox Business.
You know who she is?
This is the most Fox Business anyone's ever watched.
I know, but that she was on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
She was like a child star who had like a bad childhood or something.
Oh, well.
And she ended up going into news.
Didn't everybody on Little House on the Prairie end up as a conservative or something? Is it?
I don't know. I don't know. But she was like the little tiny kid on Little House. Like she was like only on for a little bit. I think she was added later.
Do we care about that's another thing. Do we care like what Kimmy Gibbler is doing
I don't,
no.
But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do we need everybody who was ever on show? Like, are we worried about what the girls from Family Matters are doing? I know one of them was doing porn, but I mean, do we really need to know where the TGI Friday lineup is?
Well, there's always people who are fans of that and go, oh, I watched that as a kid, and therefore, I think people expect. I think is when we're kids, and you see other kids doing something that you wish you could do, you sort of wish you had that life, and then you find out that they're like, you know. Like this girl on Modern Family that I don't know if you follow this TMZ.
Oh yeah, that's crazy story.
And this mom apparently is a whack job, and
well, she's living with her sister.
And
at this
point, she had to like move with her sister.
And they're fighting over the money. And the mom says,
and the mom's
the sister
her.
Only showed up for the money.
And then
and the mom's
she's
abusive.
Accusing the daughter of like banging like she's 14.
Yeah,
and says she's banging this 18-year-old guy. She's
banging
and,
Ed O'Neill.
No, I don't think she's banging Ed O'Neill.
God.
But you know, it's still like you know, you go like, oh, maybe these, you know, maybe. Thank God I'm not Gary Coleman or one of these guys, you know, as a, you know.
Why? Because your crazy blonde, your crazy redhead bitch wife
let me die.
Let
the,
you die on the
bleed
floor?
To death on the kitchen floor. No. She, by the way, she was nominated for Asshole of the Year 1 year.
She was a spectacular.
She
asshole.
Was a yeah, great sure. choice that year when he died.
God, it's gonna be a good list.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how long my list even is. I got to get cracking on that.
The election really broke a lot of assholes out.
I got to get cracking.
Because there were people that acted just crazy.
Yeah.
Victoria Jackson put on a show on Twitter about how nuts she was.
I think it's sad, though, when these people who, you know, the only attention they get is when they have to do these crazy religious or, you know, right-wing ramblings to actually get attention because no one would care about them any other way. And it's kind of sad.
And believe me, people say stupid stuff on the left.
And I'm sure they believe it, and it's fine to believe it. I just don't know that you need to be known for it. I'm very...
Well, I'll tell you...
I like my celebrities apolitical, personally. I don't see where it has anything to do with
it. You have to be able to do it in a way where you can be known for it, but you have to be able to do it in a way that doesn't hurt your brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Bill Maher... Okay, there's probably some people who will never watch Bill Maher because they don't like his politics.
Yeah.
But Bill Maher's managed to turn the whole politics thing into his shtick and continue his career. Whereas the only place you ever see Dennis Miller is on Bill O'Reilly's show.
Well, yeah, I think he has his own talk show.
Okay.
His radio show.
But he's in those. He's in that little
he's
bubble.
He's in that, yeah.
He's in the conservative bubble.
Right.
You don't want to get stuck in the bubble of whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, I feel like that those shows are led by these guys who, you know, Jon Stewart and Bill Maher and these guys who, you know, realize they're alienating who openly alienate half the audience and don't give a shit.
Well, unfortunately,
and I feel like O'Reilly's a guy that also is alienating half the audience, and yet he's, you know, he's sort of attacked for it.
Here's the difference. Jon Stewart is considered mainstream. His clips get played on all the other talk shows.
Okay.
His clips get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People will goof on, or, you know, the Today Show will play a clip of Jon Stewart. He's mainstream.
Okay.
Miller has taken himself and isolated him into the Foxosphere. You know, and it's its own little world.
Yeah.
And that world apparently was so disconnected from reality that they were predicting a Romney landslide.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. Go. Although Dick Morris, as much as you're calling him a crazy man, wrote a nice column that I read after the election. He said, you know,
I fucked up.
No, he didn't. He admitted he got it wrong.
I saw him doing the apology tour.
But he also said, you know, all of this shit that everyone, all this money people spent, it really did, all the swing state, battleground state stuff.
It didn't make a difference.
It really didn't make a difference.
No.
And again, we've sat on this show for I don't know how long. I mean, obviously since the beginning of these guys came out of the woodwork, these Republicans, and all said, none of these guys have a shot. Zero. Like we said, I have a better shot of being president than any of these guys when there were two dozen guys running to be president.
Oh, yeah, Rick Perry and all these guys.
And Rick Perry and Herman Cain and fucking this guy and that guy and Rick Santorum and all these guys. And I was like, well, none of you guys, you have no shot. And even if Romney was qualified to be president on some paper, you know, checkbox sort of thing, and you go, okay, well, he got, you know, he was the governor of a big state, blah, blah, blah. He's got experience. He could be president. It's still about, you know, the presidential election is still on some level a beauty pageant. It's largely about charisma. It's largely about, you know, the X factor versus whatever, you know, it's more about the intangibles than it is about the what you can measure, you know, than what is, you know. So I really feel
I think personality plays a big factor.
Yeah, so
and I'm going to tell right now to my Democratic and progressive friends.
Yes.
Stop with the Hillary talk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you
just give it. I'm going to say, can we say right now?
Yeah.
7 days after the 2012 election.
Exactly, yeah.
I will now make a pronouncement for the 2016 election.
Yeah.
Hillary Rodham Clinton will never ever win.
No, I'm with you.
Of the United States of America. And to invest in her is to invest in failure.
Absolutely.
And I have a reason for this.
Yeah.
And that reason is that the Democrats never win that way. They never.
In which way?
They always.
Stunt casting of.
Look what the Republicans just did. They picked the guy who was next in line.
Yeah.
The election before that, they picked the guy that was next in line.
They picked the guy that was the number two guy to,
whoever worked their way up through the system.
Yeah.
Right, Romney finished behind McCain in the
McCain,
primaries.
So then,
so now we would go what? We would then take Rick Santorum. I mean, who?
Santorum was the last guy in, right? Wasn't Santorum the last guy to get out before, you know, conceding everything to Romney?
I mean,
Paul, maybe technically, but not in terms of
John Huntsman
support.
No.
Yeah.
You can't take those losers and recycle
them. Yeah.
It doesn't usually work. It
worked for Nixon in that.
Nixon,
you know, some of these,
Nixon was a
Reagan,
rare case.
I think, lost as well in 76.
Yeah, and Reagan ran twice, I think, before. But it doesn't work for the Democrats.
Yeah.
I tell you that much.
Yeah.
The Republicans have pulled it off a couple times, but the Democrats never do.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy was only in the Senate for a few years and in Congress for, I mean, his entire political career was about 10 years.
Yeah. What's kind of what Obama is the same deal, right?
When he after you know about well maybe 11 like 48 till he.
But
ran
what was how many terms did Obama do in the Senate?
Yeah,
one term in the Senate. Yeah,
right.
So
you're better off picking some fresh talent.
No.
This Hillary bullshit.
No,
it's old hat. By 2016, Hillary will have been out of the White House. For 16 years.
Yeah,
and she was first lady. That's old news.
It is.
Nixon was the rare example of a guy that had lost on the ticket and came back and won.
Yeah.
Just doesn't work. So take that Hillary stuff, shove it.
What was it? Does Joe Biden run? I mean, traditionally,
And you can take the
vice president runs after he does two terms as VP.
I will say if Obama made a mistake, it was not replacing Biden.
Yeah, but everybody talks about replacing. Who's ever replaced the vice president? And for second term, nobody's ever done it, as far as I know. Maybe FDR did it or something, but I mean, I don't know who's replaced their VP.
Well, you're right;
it doesn't happen.
But
it's always talked about. You know, Bush should have got Cheney.
Maybe he shouldn't have picked Biden to begin with, because the problem with Biden is that you're now.
But he wasn't enough of a liability to not get elected.
He didn't help, and
Dan Quayle probably hurt.
Bush,
yeah.
Well, I think the problem, I'm just saying, Joe Biden, you can stuff that too. He's not going to win either, right? He's old news.
Well, yeah, he's old news.
I personally think, I kind of like Joe Biden. I think he's, he seems like a decent guy.
Okay.
He might sometimes stumble on his words and stuff, but I don't look at him and go, well, there's a guy who's bullshitting me. I think he tries to say what he means.
But he also is sort of he's a real sort of...
Old school politician.
He is that sort of...
And what I'm saying, and I'm telling you, 2016, we're now 1 week past the 12 election.
Well, Biden...
And I say to you now, stuff Hillary, Biden.
I agree. I don't
find
think you have
some new talent.
And the Republicans, you know, and they're not going with Sarah Palin either. They're not going... You know, I don't know.
Well, the guy that's getting everybody.
I don't know what Paul Ryan's.
Everybody's
deal is,
got a clit boner for Marco Rubio right now.
Well, okay. And yeah, I've heard that. And Chris Christie, you hear that. And
let me say this right now.
What's it?
Those guys aren't winning either.
You don't think Chris Christie?
Everybody. Okay. But the front runner is made to be taken down.
Yeah, that's true.
Although Romney did run wire to wire in this case.
He really did. Although I think Perry might have been the front runner for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But just
actually
just,
there were they traded off front runners for a long time.
Yeah, I think Perry was in there for a minute and then.
Isn't the front runner meant to be taken down though?
Usually, but I mean it's always like I think and like I said, I think everybody gets and I think we said this when they were doing the primaries and all these things, is that they sort of give everybody a shot.
Right.
Herman Cain was hot for a minute. You know, somebody will finish like number two out of the blue.
Well, you know why? Because
and
again,
then they'll go, oh, well, this is the guy. Santorum has a shot. No.
And again, this has less to do with the whole polling thing. This has less to do with the results in reality as it has to do with the media's desire to keep a story going.
Absolutely. The same thing with the polling.
And I think you're right. I think with this election, in like July, it looked like Obama was going to roll through to a re-election.
Yeah.
And they all went, well, shit, that ain't good for ratings.
Sure.
We got sweeps coming up.
Right, right.
So they all gamed the system to make it look like Romney was doing
it. Was going
to
be
then,
close.
And then Obama took a dump in the first debate, and everybody had a reason to go,
that gave
wow.
him a pulse.
Now, he wasn't, believe me, I think they overstated how terrible he was, but he certainly wasn't on his game on that first debate. And that made a difference. So anyway, all right.
Well, and by the way, I made the case for Romney on the last show.
Good for you.
Upsetting you and everyone else that listened.
Right. You were a loser.
No, but I mean, I made the case for him in a hypothetical sense of this is why it may be good to elect Romney. So, you know, I did vote for him. But believe me, I was so angry I could have not voted. I mean, I really was sort of just like, I was angry at that line. And I went like, well, you know, I ultimately don't, you know, my feeling is, and I heard this debate, I was listening to another podcast where, you know, there was a guy on who was sort of a libertarian, and he goes, you know, you throw your vote away if you vote for one of the top, you know. He goes, I don't care if you don't vote, but if you vote, don't vote for the big two and all this stuff. And I go, you know what? Here's
the deal.
You're
throwing your vote away?
My feeling is, you know.
Was this Penn Jillette?
No. This was This Week in Tech. So it was,
Leo Laporte.
But he has a guy who's a magician.
Why are magicians all libertarians?
I'll tell you why. Here's why magicians are libertarian. And magicians go through this historically. And if you look at the career of Houdini, where Houdini was doing all these escapes, and then at the end he sort of went after the spiritualists, people who believe they could talk to ghosts and seances, and they went after, and that's why Penn and Teller did bullshit, is magicians are bullshit artists by their nature.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, it's fake. I mean, the whole thing about magic is...
So is Ron Paul.
It's completely fake, but my point is that they can sniff out a fake. And that's why magicians are very libertarian in their thinking. And why they're why they don't believe, they're skeptics about things like UFOs and ghosts and even things like global warming and that. Because a lot of magic, there is magic, you know, when you do a lot of cards, there's a lot of like statistics and things that when you deal with card tricks that you just sort of deal with. And so it's, you know, magicians are by their nature skeptical, at least good ones generally are. So this guy was going, well, look, throw your ear. If you vote for the Republican or the Democrat, you're throwing your vote away. He says that. But my feeling, and I've come down on this, is just do whatever the fuck you want. And if you're in a good citizen, will allow that to happen without impeding on the free will of others.
Right.
Meaning, you know, if you want to vote for Romney, go ahead. Like, I did it on the show as a speculative, you know, devil's advocate.
You voted for Romney because that's what you wanted to vote for.
But ultimately, I wasn't trying to sway people in that direction necessarily.
Yeah, okay.
But I feel like people that go on Facebook and tell you you're a fucking idiot if you vote for Romney, that's every bit as bad as voting for Romney, because you're just, you know, in a democracy, freedom meanings let people have their freedoms while I enjoy mine.
All right.
And you know, people who make that argument of, well, if you voted for Romney, you're a fucking douchebag. It doesn't work in the system of,
in the notions of equanimity, of collaboration, and getting along, all of that sounds good.
Sure.
And in the real world where people live, it's loser talk.
Well, people like to talk about it.
It's
but my
loser
point is that,
talk.
My point is that...
You lost! It's loser talk!
No.
Libertarianism is loser talk!
Okay, but
I said it last time, I'll say it again.
Then it's a sport
these guys,
for you.
And these fucking
then
guys...
you're a front runner who only enjoys being on the
winning
team.
I'm a front runner? I sat through 2 years of...
But you only want to be on the winning
team. I sat through two terms of Bush.
And you screamed about the whole fucking thing the whole time
he was in office. I sat through 8 years of Bush.
And you screamed about it. And Michael Moore made movies about it. But my point is, why not let people just do whatever they want?
They are going to do whatever they want.
Because when people do whatever they want, your guy wins anyway. So why can't they? Why can't you know what I'm saying? Like if the tenor of the country,
I believe that if you are committed to political ideals,
yes,
and you're and believe me, I said ideals. I don't believe that everything that Obama does is perfected. I don't believe that's the first thing the right always goes. Well, you're just in the cult of Obama. No, there's plenty of Republicans that held...
I'm not accusing you of being in a cult.
Okay.
What I'm saying
is
that...
There's, I don't know. I can't, you know, pull out a statistic because I'm not Nate Silver. But do you know how many Republicans just kind of held their nose and went, well, we're going to vote for Romney because we don't want the jig to win again. You know what I mean? People voted for a guy who they didn't like because he was a Republican. And people do that.
Who did they not want to win again?
The jig.
You're breaking up there. The mic is... No, but here's
the Montagnard.
I get what you're saying,
the
but
Montagnard.
At the same time, there's people go on Facebook and all day they post shit about why their guy is the best guy. But it convinces no one.
Right.
No one is swayed by that. No one is swayed by these commercials. It's all a bunch of hooey.
I will tell you.
Look, people vote one way, and then there is some statistical reason. If you strip the names and the parties off of who voted for who in what year, there is a movement that party A And when party A wins for long enough, that party B will ultimately win, just in a statistical sense. Mm-hmm. So really, all of the banter really doesn't matter. And I feel like my opinion isn't really relevant to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at what's out there, make your own decision, and do what you want. But it's the screaming about shit, right? You know, all day
Well, there's something wrong with I agree with you. There's something dreadfully wrong with these elections.
Yeah.
It took us, 18 months and billions of dollars spent on both sides.
Right.
Romney and Obama both spent.
Exactly, but
shit tons of money. And all of the worse, this election was worse than ever because of the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court. The unregulated money that flowed in through the super PACs made even more ads available. And you know what happened? Not much.
Okay, but you're absolutely right. All of these arguments that people use to say, well, you can't vote, you know, like the Democrats always say, you know, women's right to choose is threatened and blah, blah, blah.
Now,
the candidates that represent those parties where everyone's screaming, those guys never follow through on whatever the big issue is anyway. The Republicans, Bush had the Congress, Bush had a majority in the House, majority in the Senate. He was president. He got fired, and abortion was still legal.
My point is that
those guys never follow through with whatever far off ideal it is anyway.
You're absolutely right.
Obama's not ending the war in Afghanistan. I mean, he didn't take everybody out.
He's not doing it right now.
But, I mean, he kept it going. I mean, the point is, you know, Guantanamo Bay is still open.
Well, I'll tell you
as
what.
As much as people
hold
want
on,
that close.
Hold on.
But that guy, the guy that you ultimately voted for, wasn't that true believer who was holding a sign, standing on the side of the street. But yet, he's still that guy. And
we are still in Afghanistan.
Okay.
But where are we not?
We're not in Iraq. And
And you think McCain would have gotten out of Iraq on the same timetable? I don't
speculative.
Know.
Speculative. But the point is that this guy, whoever that guy is, is never going to make that big change that you wanted. You know.
By the way,
there's the Hamas guy getting blown up. Did you see that?
What I will say to my libertarian listening audience and my friends out there, and you know what? I think a lot of libertarians are very smart, thoughtful people, but you're losers. And here's the thing.
But why?
You're going to have, if you don't think the system's going to be changed and the right and the left are all shades, as Bill Hicks said, American politics is a puppet. I believe the puppet on the right expresses my belief. I believe the puppet on the left expresses mine. And it's the same guy working both puppets. If you believe that, that's good. But the problem is when you go, you're throwing your vote away. Most people don't agree with you. You have to find a way to build your ideology to the point where it is a viable alternative, to a point where people listen to you. And that is unfortunately the ugly sausage-making progress of making political change on a level.
Again, I feel like people should vote, but I also feel like you should vote for whoever you want. And if you don't vote for the guy who wins, it's okay.
You know why there was all this outrage and all this talk back? And you're right that people don't usually do what they claim they're going to do.
Well, it's not necessarily their claims.
For the Republicans,
but the people that, you know,
where the places where the Republicans lost in the Senate and the Democrats picked up, six seats? The reason that they lost in the Senate was very specifically unforced errors in which they started talking about dumb shit that they didn't need to talk about.
That's true, too.
They're not repealing Roe v. Wade. They're not going to do that anytime. There have been, by the way, a good solid 20 years of retrenchments on women's access to health care coverage. All of these things like health care do matter. All these things like defunding Planned Parenthood do matter in terms of they're like, we're not going to outlaw abortion, but we're going to make it more difficult. And that is real. And that is not imagined. And when these guys get up there and they started talking their bullshit about rape. But they don't run on it, and they get caught.
If you look at what these guys do, if you stripped away the party, if you look at like Clinton's policies were probably more in line with like Republicans. If you just look back at what Clinton did in terms of his actions, I mean, he got rid of don't ask, don't tell, and then he decided, I'm going to fucking stick my tail between my legs, and became a very popular president largely by sticking his finger up, seeing which way the wind was blowing, and going that way. And in a lot of cases, remember the Congress was swept out under him. So really, Clinton, what Clinton did and what Clinton ultimately did with the office was more in line with what Republicans run on with what they would do.
The problem is, so, you know what happens?
My feeling is that there really isn't that big of a difference at the end of the day.
Here's the problem. These guys all say, I am going to build a pyramid. What they don't tell you is that they're going to build a pyramid one brick at a time. And then that pyramid is going to take so long to build that you're not going to see it. You're not going to see the effects. But everyone thinks, hey, we're going to have a pyramid next week. Yeah. Romney was like, day one, I'm going to come in there. Well, the fuck you're going to do shit?
Yeah, those guys.
The U.S. government, the federal government is such a large, and not to mention, within the federal government, there are, of course, there are structures within the government, the FBI, the CIA, the military, the defense, you know what I mean? All of these different cabinets are their own little worlds, their own little universes, their own little fiefdoms that have best practices, that have institutional memory, that have bureaucracy. So all of these things, you're right, they're claims that they make. And at the end of the day, with the billions of dollars that were spent, what did we get? We got the same fucking, we got Mitch McConnell, we got fucking Harry Reid. And by the way, I'm not a fan of Harry Reid. Nancy Pelosi's like, I'm going to be the House Democrats leader again. Kiss my dick. Get out of there. Let's get some new talent in there. I don't disagree with any of that. But the problem is libertarians all tell you, oh, you're throwing your vote away. What they're really trying to say is that we wish more people agreed with our ideas. Well, you got to win. You got to make your ideas sellable in the marketplace. If your ideas are that good, they're going to win.
But does everybody agree? I mean, if you listed off all of the Democratic Party, and you looked at their everything that they believe in and everything that's on there, like you believe in every fucking thing on there.
I don't.
To the point of lockstep following everything they say. I mean, that's the thing. Most people aren't really Republican or Democrat, but they sort of get coerced into being in one or the other because they don't want to lose. They don't want to be part of that. People want to go where the fun is. You know, people want to feel like they endorsed, you know, that it's their guy. And you know what? Obama is president of the United States. And as an American, he's my president. So it doesn't really matter if I voted for him or not.
The president had a news conference today.
Yes.
And the news conference, he talked like a politician. Mm-hmm. And it aggravated me.
Sure.
He went up there and he kind of just sort of, well, I can't really comment on that right now. It's an ongoing investigation. And they were trying to get him on Benghazi. And he said, well, you know, look, if we had gotten in there, you'd be asking me why I was getting involved in a investigation before the facts were in, and there'd be criminal prosecution. So he acted like a lawyer, and that's what he does.
He lawyered up a little.
And you know what?
Yeah.
All the presidents are lawyers.
Yeah,
with a rare exception of like Harry Truman and Ronald Reagan, they're all lawyers.
Right. Bush wasn't a lawyer, was he? Bush was an MBA, wasn't he? But the last push.
He went to Harvard Law School.
Yeah, he was an MBA. Which is funny because somebody said like in reading up to the election, they're like, you know, if an MBA was president, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't run. And then they were like, well, the last president who was an MBA was Bush. So there you go.
He had both, though. I think
he was a brilliant mind. Oh, he had a law degree as well?
I think he went to Yale Law. Is that what he did? Anyway. He didn't practice.
He didn't practice.
But
he went.
You know, most presidents have a law degree and they think like lawyers, and I'm married to one, so I know how this works. And they have, you know. Let's get into something
we can agree on.
You know, we've had a lot of fighting, but I will say.
I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm just trying to
bring up things.
I
will agree with you that ultimately this election didn't make a whole hell of a lot of difference, except there are issues that it did affect.
Well,
immigration. They're going to get a new bill on immigration. You know why? Because they learned from the electorate that people didn't give a shit, or that they weren't buying what the Republicans were selling. And all the Republicans, including John Boehner, are saying, well, we're going to have an immigration reform bill. Their elections do have consequences. The voice is heard. So go out and vote.
Sure.
Even if you got to wait in line for 3 hours, that's bullshit. They ought to fix that.
They ought to fix that.
Because that is only disenfranchised people.
It really does.
And my last thing on the elections, fuck this Tuesday voting.
Yeah, I mean, places.
You know what the election should be? And it's going to be a bummer because the networks are going to have to wait 24 hours.
Yeah.
You should have Saturday and Sunday elections.
I thought some places you can go and vote. Like
there are places you can go vote early.
A day
which makes
or
it only confusing.
Several days earlier.
What I'm saying is national elections, weekend of voting. We have an election on Saturday. We have an election on Sunday.
Yeah.
And on Monday, we all count the ballots and we go, all right,
well,
that's who won.
I would, you know, if it was up to me, I would get an absentee ballot rather than dealing with the shit that
stand
I dealt
in line.
With at my precinct. But apparently
I was in and out of there in 20 minutes.
Apparently you can't get, but even in Ferndale here, people at other precincts had no problem. So clearly,
it was just your.
It was not equally divided up like per that stupid fucking map that's over there.
Nope.
Where they go, oh, this is all even. Blah.
You went
blah,
to Kroger
blah,
and you got the real dumb broad working the counter.
Well,
and you got the bad line.
I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. But anyway, enough of that. Okay, right. Let's move on. But I was saying about absentee ballots. I don't know if I can get one. You have to either claim.
Right,
that
Bush
you're...
did not have a law degree. Okay.
Yeah, Bush was an MBA, though, I thought. I thought that was his.
He went to Yale and Harvard Business.
Okay, Harvard Business. We had he was an MBA, a Harvard MBA. Mm-hmm. This guy was an economic genius, that Bush. Anyway, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it makes you a little skeptical of an MBA. But anyway, let's move on. Because we got a show called Dish Nation.
This is something we can both agree on.
If you live in the United States of America, this is probably
on. Is this in, like, every city, or is this, like, a limited
It's nationally syndicated. Yeah. Now, some of these are tied to... Some of them are sort of tied. The syndication company is the same one that owns the network.
Are these just in the towns?
No, I think this is everywhere. So
because
even though...
Remember when Craig Kilborn was doing his thing?
Yes.
That was only on unlimited markets.
Yeah, I think... Well, that's what I mean. I think they're sort of O&Os that also the syndication company owns the station.
Is this, is this Telepictures?
I'm not sure who this is. We'll see at the end. But Dish Nation... is the name of the show. It's basically morning talk show teams discuss the day's events in a humorous way, apparently, according to the, you would think. And so they do this thing, and it's on television. So, you know, Howard Stern did the radio, you know, the E! Show, which was the radio show on television. He still does Howard TV. So this is expanding upon that to get in, you know, six. And I guess this is trying to be... Is this trying to be gossip? Is this celebrity news? Corey, where do you put this now?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's what. Here's the thing. It's what
is
all.
Is this sort of Entertainment Tonight, but in a talk show format?
It's meant as a supplement, according to the Wikipedia page.
Oh, my goodness.
It's meant as a supplement to TMZ.
To TMZ. So maybe it is them. Maybe it is their.
So I believe this is airs.
A sister show.
This airs in the. What is TMZ on? It's 7, 7:30?
In Michigan, in Detroit, I think it's on okay. 7.
Well, it's usually coupled.
On the Fox
and then
affiliate.
It's on late at night.
Yeah.
So it's in the entertainment block.
Okay.
Which
so
is
this would be this one.
The early evening entertainment block.
7, sure.
Which is usually game shows.
6 and 8. Between 6 and 8.
It's usually game shows or entertainment news is in that time slot.
Sometimes it'll be the nightly news followed by one of these entertainment
shows.
That's
right. We'll have the real news of like the, you know, Israelis just bombed Hamas.
Yeah.
And then followed by Ashton Kutcher bombed Hollywood right. with his shitty project.
Kristen Stewart's dress at the Twilight premiere. All right.
They always call Jon Stewart fake news. This is fake news.
This really is. So let's see if we can... I'm going to try to direct line in your audio here, kids.
Oh, here it is. Oh, that's Kelly Raspberry.
And it's not working. Let me see what's going on.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. It's a nice gap on Bobby Brown.
Yeah, Bobby Brown got the...
So what they do is they have... They have morning radio teams in several markets.
Let's see if you guys can hear this now. I know why, because it's potted down on the
board. Arrested again.
Donald Trump claims his Obama bombshell will blow everyone away.
It's every parent's nightmare. Jay-Z and Beyonce hear the words, you can't trademark your baby's name.
We've got the exclusive Justin Timberlake, Jessica Biel wedding
everything
photos
about this
and only
is
paid $5 for them.
That's what we did. And they're doing. Oh, do you know? Do you want to hear
the theme music?
Okay, but they must now. To me, if I'm doing a radio show, they must really be paying these guys good money. And here's why: this seems like a lot of production for a local radio station to do. So they must have really thrown some money at these stations and at these guys. To be
are
part of this,
all of these
because,
guys on the same.
Oh, that's
network?
A good. That's a good question. Are they all on CBS Radio or Infinity?
Yeah, because the radio networks are all.
I'm not sure.
Are they all Cumulus or
Yo, baby's name.
CBS or whatever?
We're gonna get the Justin Timberlake, the theme Jessica song Biel here wedding photos, and only paid $5 for them.
Frightening. I mean,
but that's what's great. That's the one thing.
Greatest radio voices in America, and made them the new face of television entertainment news. Scott and Todd, coast to coast from New York.
Oh, yeah. He's getting down.
The Ricky Smiley Show, Atlanta and beyond.
Oh.
From the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, Blaine and
Corey
Allison.
And Joel. I mean, no.
Kid Craddock, broadcasting from the heart of Texas.
Kid Craddock.
This.
No one in L.A.?
No.
Was there somebody in California? How do they not have California represented?
New York, Dallas, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Detroit. Where's L.A.?
Maybe L.A. is just too out of it because it's West Coast. Because they're, you know, they're delayed 3 hours.
All right.
That is odd to not have an LA station.
We are getting ready for the final chapter of the Twilight series. Well, Robert Pattinson's having to go out and do all the interviews, but he's talking about the love scenes they had to film.
The sex scene in this one is pretty ridiculous as well.
Yeah.
Is it?
There was no one else there, so it's like literally just like try and give a face.
Kid Craddock bumped the LA team.
Oh, there was an LA team that got
were bumped by Kid Craddock.
But he said it was really funny because a lot of the scenes.
Well, this is Kid Craddock.
Or this is Kelly Raspberry. Okay, and if that's your real name, my real name is Humongous Dongolus.
Well, that's just, I'm sure
Kelly Raspberry.
I'm sure her name is Kelly Lipschitz or
Kelly Rusinski.
Kelly, yeah.
And it's Kelly Raspberry.
Yeah.
Kelly Raspberry is every bit of 44 years old.
Yeah, Kelly Raspberry is
older.
Well,
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? 38?
No, Kelly Raspberry is a 40-year-old woman. That's
all right.
That's
I mean, she's got to be.
But she's not bad looking. She's just, you know.
But she, okay, she does these douchey promos.
She, you know what she is? She's probably, I don't know anything about Kelly Raspberry. I would think she maybe was like a news anchor. Uh-huh. A television person, maybe that's
a possibility.
Over.
Or she's had a whole career in radio, which is sad.
No, if you have a career in radio.
Have a sex scene on a PG movie. That's going to be tough.
Just close-ups of the face.
That's it?
That's it.
So that's JC. So it's great. So these morning radio douches.
Yeah.
There's, okay, the format is always, there's usually, mm-hmm. What are they, there's a name for it.
A morning zoo?
For the format. There's like.
Oh.
There's like, the smile, the goon, and the girl.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever. There's like a
right. There's
like a format.
There's the host who is sort of the MC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he.
The driver.
The driver, pilot, yeah. And then you have.
Which would be Kid Craddock here.
The woman. And then you're saying there's like the goofy guy that says the inappropriate shit.
Now, I think this show is missing the traditional goon. But they
that's
have,
JC, though.
They
no?
have a number of interns.
And then there's always these shows. It's a bunch of. Like, usually, here's the thing. The guy is about 10 years older than the chick, at least, usually. Mm-hmm. I think the Detroit show may run
little equivalent, yeah.
And then the other people are, like, way young. They're all, like, 23.
Right.
But the main guy is...
Sex scene on a PG movie. That's going to be tough.
Just close-ups of the face.
That's it?
That's it.
So
does this girl say anything? Or
right,
she just there,
well, there's a girl there that, you know, but that could be the traffic girl or something, maybe. I don't know.
So, like, girl looks like a beat-up Megan Fox.
She's cute
she's
for,
right.
I mean
yeah.
But, you know, I also wonder if when you have a Dish Nation, if there isn't some production meeting where they go, look, you got to get some...
Put some trim
get
in
some,
there.
Get some poon in there, because...
Yeah, if you got the... what's this? Hey, sales girl, come here.
Right, yeah, they get them, they plunk them right out of broadcasting
school. Put down the donut. Right. Here we go. Honey, this is a... It's a Planet Fitness membership, yeah. All right? You're going to go hit the treadmill and you're going to go...
Yeah. And Kid Craddock, not...
not a kid, by any means. What kind of a name is... You're 48 years old, Kid Craddock.
He was a kid when,
yeah. I mean, you know when you were a kid?
Yeah.
When fucking wacky packages right. were new. Are you kidding me?
He's a kid. He was shipped off to Vietnam as a kid, this guy. You know, he's that old.
You know, but he was a kid. You know who was in his high school, who was in his elementary school class? Mason Reese. Here's a fucking Rodney Allen Rippey.
This is going to come up later as what? We go along. Kid Craddock wearing just a regular flannel shirt, hair somewhat done, but not overly.
Whatever, he looks like a regular guy.
I'm sure that shirt was picked out for him or somehow was... A TV shirt, but this guy not coming off as a prima donna in a physical sense.
No.
A lot of the times it would just be him and the cameraman.
So,
these people all needed wardrobes.
That's true. I mean, they must have given them wardrobes.
Let's give this to JC for sex face.
Because even my wife laughs at my face.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you're a vampire.
Yeah, get in a character. You don't have to move.
Oh, just
feeling
it. Oh, yeah, Edward.
Ooh. So the guy is doing his lovemaking face. Wait. Now, where did this guy come from?
Maybe that's the goon.
They have a Blake.
This show's from what, Dallas?
From Dallas. So, you know.
That's probably not a bad move in Dallas.
In Dallas, yeah. Dallas, I'm sure, has its audience.
Sure.
So maybe he is more the maybe he's. But I thought a lot of these like there's a sports guy. Maybe that's JC.
I don't, JC is apparently the goon. All right, yeah, let's okay. go.
But I thought the black guy was going to be the goon.
Oh.
How long is this last?
All right, let's move on to the next show as we see. Now, this is Ricky Smiley.
Ricky Smiley from Atlanta.
Bobby Brown, y'all. Was
by the way, forget about seeing a white guy in this next segment. Just, you know.
Well, as Joel has often said, Atlanta is the home of the middle class.
It is the home of the Atlanta. You live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's as if you're not black. It's a very weird place in that way. It is.
Is it really?
It's as if, yeah, if you're black in Atlanta, it's like you're white everywhere else.
Bobby was drunk.
Oh, it's Gary with the T, everybody. Gary with the T.
And not T, like it's T-E-A.
It's like sweet tea.
So I don't know if Gary brings in the tea, and then who's this guy? That seems
this is a head crack.
What is his name? with the K.
It's head crack.
Head crack.
Hey, y'all. It's head crack.
This is based off his booking sheet. Bobby Brown's 43 years old, hair brown, eyes brown, weighing 165 pounds, height 5'11".
Black people can't outdrink white people. I don't give a damn. White people get drunk, they can hold.
Of course, Ebony Steele, which is every bit as real a name as Mary Strawberry or whatever the other girl
yeah,
was.
Kelly Raspberry.
Kelly Raspberry.
Mary Strawberry.
Whatever her name was.
Ebony Steele. Talk about sounding like a porn actor.
It really
is. It's like an 80s gay porn actor.
It kind of is.
I'm Ebony Steele.
Yeah, really.
Black people get 6 beers.
But is Ricky Smiley his real name? Probably not.
Hells to the no.
Yeah.
His name is Richard Jefferson Franklin III.
All right, now they're mixing back in some kid.
Now we're back to Kid Craddock.
Kid Craddock is back. Okay, now here comes the... This is why the whole reason we're doing this. They're now discussing what happened on Dancing with the Stars All-Stars. And there's two guys on this named Scott Shannon.
Uh-huh.
That's really the guy. But his co-host is a guy named Todd Pettengill.
Okay. Now, Shannon's been around for about 8
billion
years.
Since the 60s, right? Scott Shannon, I mean, or the 70s, you got to believe at least. Real old radio New York top 40 guy.
Okay? Yeah.
Todd Pettengill, if you're an older wrestling fan, if you watched WWF in the 90s, Todd Pettengill was sort of their kind of carnival barker.
Right.
And he did a lot of the pre-shows on the pay-per-views and sort of stuff like that. So Todd
was
briefly...
They would hire radio guys like Lee... who was the guy
Lee Marshall.
Lee Marshall.
He was at the Nitro party where they were coming.
Yeah.
He never got to see Nitro.
No,
because he was always at the party the week before in the city.
That was great. They'd be having a party. Lee Marshall would call on WCW.
Yeah.
Always fascinated.
He never
with
got
segment.
To go to Nitro because he was always at
Lee Marshall was like a old time, like 60s radio DJ.
Yeah.
2020 news. He was on AM 800 in Detroit when it was a big top
Lee Marshall
40.
Was?
Yeah. When it was a big top 40 station. And Lee Marshall with 2020 news, man stabbed. You know, he would, and he was that kind of guy, and he would, I saw a documentary on this.
Oh, okay.
And Lee Marshall was like, he'd call in and be like, we're in Tampa, Florida, getting ready for next week's Nitro. And you know he was in the dressing room.
Right, he's in the production truck.
He's on a fucking cell phone in the satellite truck.
Right.
Calling in like we're in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right.
It was funny.
So they'd always have a wrestling.
But this Todd Pettengill guy is on here, so he's the co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's why I brought up what Kid Craddock looked like and what he was wearing and all that stuff. Because when you get to the show, and I know, look, New York is different than, you know, New York is more of a media center than a Dallas or an Atlanta is, but...
Yeah.
These two guys, you gotta see these guys. They look like they honestly. If I could, two guys who resembled these two, it would be Siegfried and Roy. These guys look like Hoda and fucking Kathy Lee. They look like two women. They're like two women.
We gotta put pictures up of
this.
Really, right?
Are you
putting pictures?
They've got bizarre hairdos, which like the hair is sort of dyed blonde. And then you've got like some. I mean, clearly he's wearing. Look at Scott Shannon's hair, Corey. Would you look at this? Look at the hair of Scott Shannon. I don't think the hair.
You know what?
The color is definitely not real. I don't believe that the hair is real.
Uh-huh.
The eyebrows might be dyed to match the hair. He's clearly wearing foundation. I would guess. I don't know if it's eyeliner, but he's definitely wearing some sort of lip gloss,
Scott Shannon,
or balm.
Scott Shannon's got like a blonde, shaggy wig. And I swear to God, you know what he looks like?
Who does he look like?
Lady Elaine from The Land of Make-Believe. Does he not? Look at him.
He looks like... God, I wish...
Can we put a frame of Lady Elaine up on the website?
Who was Lady... I don't even know...
Do you remember from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Lady Elaine.
Wait till you see it. Pull it up. It's great. It's so good. He's so old and shrivelly. And you know what? Look, we're all getting old.
Lady Elaine is... Okay, I get that. Look at that. I'm with you a little bit.
It's got you in it.
I'm with you a little bit, sure.
Put that up on the
website. Somebody has Lady Elaine next to Rod Stewart. Which that is sort of... There is a thing now with old guys. We saw this when the Tigers won the pennant. Like, Mike Ilitch comes out in a horrible wig that he looked like one of the faces. He had this old, giant mop, Ronnie Wood, fake-ass hairstyle. But Scott Shannon is looking like... It's the phoniest... They look like they're two, like, gay models or something. They're sad.
They're really old.
And Todd Pettengill has... Now, Pettengill has, like, the soul patch, which is a completely different color from any other hair on his face
or
head.
And he's got caps that are all jacked
up. Yeah, and he's got big, giant, white caps. Like, you see... You said he looks like Bob Denver,
Bob Denver's son.
I sort of get that.
And he's got the Maynard G. Krebs goatee.
Shannon's got to be 65 years old, right? So let's say he's 60-something.
Hold on.
Pettengill's 10 years younger, at least.
Scott Shannon was born.
When is Scott Shannon? 19. Wait a minute. If he was 60 today, he'd be born in 52. So he was born in the 40s. 49.
Born in 1947.
Oh! Even I underestimated how decrepit this guy is. So this guy's 65 years old.
Yep.
And how old is Pettengill? Do you have that on there?
Let me get with Todd Pettengill.
Because I'm guessing Pettengill is probably 50 years old.
By the way, Scott Shannon is the official voice of the Sean Hannity Show.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. So Pettengill's got to be 50 years old. That's my thing. But at the same time, the two of them are sort of trying to, like, do the same look or something. I don't even know.
I do.
And then the girl, and again,
I had to backtrack on that whole thing.
You know, he's 65. You know,
are there any
Shannon's 65? Pettengill's got to be 50, and then the chick is like 34 on the show.
Long pants and that style.
Yeah. I do cartwheels, Maxim. Get me up, roll me over, and tap you.
Everybody else has got kind of, you know, people who can dance.
No age given.
No age for Todd Pettengill. So he lies about his age. It's just he doesn't release that. So, but I mean, when I was in my 20s, like I was in my late teens and early 20s when he was doing wrestling. So and he was, you know, he wasn't a young, you know, he was.
He debuted in 1993 for the World Wrestling.
So I was 21 then, and so that makes him anyway. But these two guys.
You know, I am not worthy.
And then there's this guy. Where did this guy come from, Corey? Look at this guy.
Kirstie Alley.
Not him.
I am not worthy.
Then they found this guy in the middle of
everything. This guy who's got gray temples is the young buck.
This guy's 38. Yeah. And he's I don't know who this guy is, but he's in.
That's Slappy Paul. You guys know Slappy Paul.
Look at Scott Shannon's eyes right now. Look at what a creepy fucking...
You know why? Because he just wet himself.
You know what it is? He's almost like... Scott Shannon is almost like a Larry King, but trying to be hip, sort of. Like
Scott Shannon just wet his diapers.
Yeah,
that's why he made that face.
That, these guys are the most bizarre guys.
Do you know any 65-year-old men who sit there and have conversations about Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, I know.
Like radio guys
do? Right, right.
It's so shameful.
And those guys get up at probably 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. So they probably don't even watch those shows. They probably, you know, they tell them what happened.
Right.
Some intern writes it down and they send it to them. Or it's on a service.
They don't even have time to DVR the thing
and watch
it. Well,
the Dish Nation people probably provide them with all the stories anyway.
All of these morning radio shows, there is a service. There's a service that provides comments and bits.
Yeah.
And it sends it out in the morning. I don't know how, you know, you should and I should write for that.
Oh, the service? We've known guys who have done.
If we could write
for. We had Gary Tyson on, and Gary Tyson created Comic Relief, which was a service for.
If we could get into that service.
Yeah.
And write for it.
Sure.
And then, like, after about 6 months, we save a couple checks, and we just start sending in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we just start. It's time to send the niggers back to Fredonia. Can we do that?
No, we can't do that. No.
Can we start doing that?
No.
We'd be like, back to Africa.
No, that's
what? No?
No.
Can we send in stuff like that?
I think that.
Let's round
and
up
see
all
who,
the...
and see who runs with it. Just
hey,
go.
Scott, I saw there's a congressman.
Like,
in,
just slip one awful right, right. thing in there. Just,
hey,
like...
I saw there's a congressman in Georgia that says he ought to wind up all the queers and put electronic tags in them. What do you think about that?
Scott? You know what? If I was writing for Scott Shannon's service, I would talk. I would write stories like, you know, hair. You know. High hair hair dye causes cancer, or you know, cap
man killed in caps mishap.
Porcelain veneers recalled. Porcelain veneers recalled for cancer risk. Or something. Listen to him freak out. Like, oh like, my god, a guy with porcelain veneers.
That,
what would happen?
That women find bald men extremely sexy. No, I would just do that all the time.
It's got you.
Why, everybody?
I gotta just—is there a two shot of these guys? Because that would be the webpage.
No, they're never.
That would be the front page of Joel.
The girl's
kind of
cute.
No, the girl's okay, but you know the girl is. Here's the thing: those guys keep getting older, and that girl stays the same age. You know what I'm saying? Like that girl is out of there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She gets knocked up pregnant. There's a new chick on there. This Scott, you know what I mean? They've probably been
It's the babe and the goon.
It's the babe and the goon.
The cootie.
All right. Do you want to watch the I think we should go because it's been a long
cutie
show.
Cutie and the cooties. I just want everybody to know that this show is the worst. This
Not
Dish
our
Nation.
Show, Dish Nation. This,
well, our show's terrible.
Our show's awful, too.
But this Dish Nation. This Dish,
Why didn't we do this at the top? We did
I don't know.
Such dry political
I
garbage today. And we talked about hot dogs.
I don't know.
And we could have been having a laugh with
we
this.
We could have been goofing.
Instead, you're telling me the tax cuts are going to benefit everyone. And I'm going, what the fuck? We got a guy with fucking porcelain veneers
How
and a red
Gary
V-neck
with the
sweater. Gary with the T. All right, we got to just follow up on Dish Nation.
I promise.
Once a month, we've got to do a Dish Nation update. Because we need to check
Until it gets canceled.
We need to check in with Scott Shannon's hair and Todd Pettengill's caps.
We
need to do a running sort of audio blog version.
The best part about this is that there was a team that got bounced.
Okay.
Like, there's a team that got...
And there's Scott Shannon from some other thing.
It's like they took all of the bullshit of morning radio... And condensed it into a half hour
right.
of Petra
awfulness. I guess they've just decided that, like, it's
Scott Shannon's staring at us.
He's staring at us. And
oh,
he's
there's a shot of, like, Salma Hayek with firefighters.
Yeah, I don't know what split Scott Shannon's doing. But it really is like we took something. Here's what I think that, I mean, I'm not saying this was the exact thought process, but this is exactly what happened, okay? You took something, morning radio, which largely, with the exception of like Howard Stern, people will only tolerate when they're stuck in their car in traffic in the morning. Generally, people get to the office, they turn it off, they don't even care. So it's something you would almost run into. You know what I mean? You wouldn't even seek the programming out aside from the fact that you want to know what the traffic's going to be like on I-95 on the way into work, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only reason you listen.
Well, that's why Howard is a different...
And that's why Howard's a different breed, because he can do the serious and have his show running all day long, and people will listen. Because it's not filled with weather breaks and traffic breaks. I mean, when he was on terrestrial, all of that stuff was being done by the local station anyway. You know what I mean?
And then Howard would fuck with the travel girl.
Right, yeah. So, but I mean, I'm thinking, like, where's the demand for the show?
There is none because
who wanted this?
It's captive. It's a captive audience. And it's in the, you know.
Yeah.
If they're sitting in the goddamn...
They're sitting in their cars.
They're in the car on the Holland
And they're like,
tunnel,
somebody's talking about the show that they watched last night. So you go, okay, well, I watched Dancing with the Stars. I'll tune this in to hear what they thought about it. And it's just sort of like, you know, it's sort of like it's water cooler talk. It's disposable. It's not good in any way. It's not really funny. It's not like they sat down and wrote jokes about Dancing with the Stars. It's guys trying to be contemporary, you know, off the top of their head.
You know, it's
engaging and
what's
funny.
Sad is, okay, and you and I both like Howard Stern, and I listen to him because I have Sirius.
Yeah.
Although, you know, believe me, his show varies in quality.
Yes.
But Howard is like the greatest talent in the history of radio because he tried to do a show. It's got the structure of these kind of things to a certain extent. You've got Robin and Fred and all that stuff. But Howard's taken every opportunity he ever could to dump on these guys and to have real uncanned opinions and say things that were real and push the envelope.
Yeah,
on
it's
that stuff.
It's everything that this rejects. And Howard,
and I only know
and
Scott.
Howard changed his look when he got on TV.
Oh, absolutely,
and all that stuff. And he had a nose job, and he had all these things done. But I mean, this is Scott Shannon's just, you know. But my feeling is, I thought radio though, and maybe Howard made it. Maybe he took it to the point where we're at this awfulness. Was that radio guys were salt of the earth guys. They were regular Joe sitting there in a Hawaiian shirt. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I thought radio guys were not the prima donnas that you would see with, like, news anchors and sort of these people.
No.
And I feel radio's like that's always, all been blurred, but really?
Radio's been second-tier flim-flam. You want to talk about magicians or bullshit artists?
Yeah.
Radio guys are even bigger bullshit artists. Murray the K.
Well, Murray the K was, yes.
All right, right?
Murray the K was full of shit, yes.
You had your first, okay, before that you had radio. Who knows what the hell radio was like in the 30s when it was the big barn dance and it was, you know, but it was, well, before that radio was like television and they had sitcoms and they had dramas.
Yeah. And Bob Hope was on there and Bing Crosby. And
the shows were different.
Yeah.
When it became a music format, it became bullshit con man, Swindler, Alan Freed. Yeah, okay. When it became the rock and roll radio format,
okay.
It was Alan Freed. It was Murray the K. It was
Cousin
Brucey.
It was guys trying to act cooler than they were.
They were guys that were older, probably. They were older than their audiences by a good 20 years.
Murray the K was the Beatles' best friend.
Murray the K came and was obnoxious and annoyed the Beatles and hung out with them. And they did shtick.
Well, the Beatles used Murray the K to get
heard. Yeah. They were entertained by it and used it for a minute, and then they
played along. Murray the K would say, "I'm the fifth Beatle," and blah blah blah. Right. And they went like, "Yeah."
And then,
I guess.
The third time they came to New York,
they were like, "Fuck you, Murray. Yeah, it's enough.
That's enough now. Piss
it's
off.
Enough. Yeah. Right.
What do you mean? I'm Murray the K." Yeah. So radio's always attracted flim flam con man bullshit.
I gotta get rid of Scott. I'm turning this.
And
off,
Scott Shannon, keep no. I want to see Kelly Raspberry again. So Scott Shannon has been around a long time in radio. God, is he awful!
It's a plasma. I can't pause it all day.
I love when they say, "We took the best talent in morning radio."
This
is the best talent in morning radio.
It's the best talent that would agree to their checks. Yeah.
Right. Kid Crash needs that head crack. Oh, Gary with the T. Uh-huh. Go. They just take like.
And actually, our guy, Blaine and Allison. Are the two most normal looking.
Well,
Allison's overweight.
Allison's not attractive in any way.
But, you know, whatever.
Blaine's a nice enough looking
guy. Blaine's
but he doesn't look like he's all looking.
Blaine's 45 years old or something.
Blaine's hair is a little
thinning. Thinning, gray.
He's not trying too hard to look.
Yeah, Blaine's okay.
I think he's a naturally sort of decent looking guy.
Yeah.
But he's not trying like Todd Pettengill to cap his teeth and look like a fucking freak of nature. This show's the worst. But what they did, they took all of the bad shit about morning radio and funneled. Oh, Shannon Doherty's going to college. They took it.
I got to turn this off because this is just so. We got to wrap this up. Thank you, Corey. I mean, look, there's a blonde on Fox Business, Corey. Look, I got to turn everything off here because we got to wrap up the show.
I got to roll out of here.
You got to go. I got to talk to you off the air about things, and it's a lot of stuff. I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, if you want to get a hold of us, go to joelradio.net. You can actually, there's a contact page on there. You can always leave a comment right there on the front page of joelradio.net. You can also call in to our hotline. We call it the douchebag hotline, but you call it what you want.
Nope. Hold on.
610-552-0746.
It's now officially going to be called.
What's that?
The Todd Pettengill hotline.
Todd Pettengill hotline. Yes.
You know what? Actually, I think what should happen, the douchebag hotline will be renamed after the number one asshole of the year.
Okay, so
is that fair enough?
So it will be
whoever finishes
the Karl Rove Memorial Hotline.
Yeah, whoever comes in number one, it would have been Oprah.
Oh, okay. But we would say
whoever finishes in the top spot,
will
become the winner. Of the new name of the douchebag hotline.
It would have been LeBron James 1 year.
Yeah,
in my
exactly.
Book, so,
It'll be the LeBron James decision line.
All right.
It could be the Jerry Sandusky hotline, the Sandusky phone, whatever you want to call it. The number one asshole.
I'm fine with that. So we'll be doing that.
Don't watch Dish Nation, no matter what you do.
Well, it's a good chuckle, you know.
Yeah,
it's
horrifying. I'm Kelly Raspberry, everybody.
We really should. I was going to say, what would our names be? And we already know that. We've said that.
Dago and the Schnoz. Everybody.
But you need a straight guy, and then. All right, let's get out of here. I had something on the web. Remember the thing before
Booger
the show?
And Dingle.
Booger and Dingle.
Barry and Dingle.
Get out of here.
Barry and Dingle in the morning, everybody.
Good night.
Watching Gary with the team.
Good night, America.
Ebony Steele, you are beautiful. You are beautiful, and you're wonderful, and I love you. And get it. Oh, what is Beyonce doing?